This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe,
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor, and he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because, that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call him the Dora.
Mike Parenti.
Everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you. And I don't like nobody touching my stuff. So just keeping me hooks off. By catching any of you guys in my stuff, I'll kill you.
And you never know who else might stop by.
You're a sexual dynamo. Most guys couldn't even handle you. I've been reading books on the outside just so I can keep up with you.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of bitch.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, your home for Patriots Talk, the only place that you can hear nonstop Patriot Talk and other things too. Anyway, gang's all here except Mike, he's out of practice, but Andy's here, Eric, Paul, me, Gary's in the booth, two genders around somewhere, and special guest today,
Zolak.
Scott Zolak's in the house. Hey, Scott, what's going on?
Giving himself a round of applause.
Very welcome for the pizza. I brought that in.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. No. You actually stole a slice when I was walking by you
in the tunnel.
I started
it all. Don't forget.
You did.
I did start it all.
That
is
true.
Stole the chicken wings and
it all started with Scott. But what are you doing here today, Scott?
A little All Access filming, two other shows. We got the TV 38, the Channel 5 stuff. So
Matt a tryout.
Matt Smith does a great tryout.
Throw
a couple balls. You know, hopefully Bill was watching. I was like launching like 55 yarders. They were on the rope, man. Just throw it to Randy, man. Just let it go.
So what's up with you? I know you're doing a lot of stuff with the Patriots.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot on EEI still.
Doing EEI on Friday.
My turf, Freddie.
Patriots Friday. Took Paul's job there.
Thanks.
You know, Smurlis is a little pissed off, but that's okay.
Well, you know, a lot of our listeners to this show, and we have a lot, don't like Patriots Friday because you guys don't talk enough Patriots. You talk too much baseball. So, you know.
Well, I won't talk.
You won't talk.
They did that to me last week. I was in last week, and they wanted to talk. We're new Patriots Friday, but of course Red Sox are playing. God forbid we don't talk about Dice K.
Well,
I mean, they've only waited for that game for like 20 years, you know. So my
contention, and it's always been this way, is that it's easier to talk baseball than football.
I think
that the reason why they talk baseball because they understand the game better.
Yeah.
They don't know how to talk
football. Well, you mean, yeah, and then you pay $20 million for the rights for the Red Sox. So that probably has
that
something
might help.
To do with
but
it.
But they're
don't
also
hit them with any facts.
But they're also paying to have Patriots Friday.
That's a great point.
You know?
That's a great point. I actually got whacked 2 weeks ago, and I need to take that up with Jason Wolf over there because I probably should get paid for that.
There you go.
Because, you know, I could have done something else on a Friday. I'd come and sit with you guys. And
get a slice of pizza.
There you
slice
go.
Of
pizza. Free
pizza. Absolutely. So, what do you think, Scott? What about this team? Well, what's your scenario from as an ex Patriot player and an ex quarterback? What's the deal here?
The Dolphin game. You know, go back a couple weeks. That, you know, I chalked that up as, you know, they didn't pay any attention to it, and you get caught sleeping, and you read the papers. You know who you're playing that week. I think they went into that game thinking they're going to win, but the shocking thing was they never adjusted. You know, after they saw something, everybody's calling it the Wildcat formation. It's just a damn direct snap to the back, you know, who's playing quarterback. It's not like it was anything that exotic.
Right.
They didn't adapt there. They went to San Fran. Didn't start too well, but as the game went on, you know, Mac got better, and the defense, oh, my God, they moved people around. They blitzed. How about that? Boy, that's a revelation. You blitz and you create problems for the quarterback. A
few shots across the bow
Sounds
there.
Sounds like he's calling out the coaching staff.
Well.
No, I'm not calling out the coaching staff. I mean, you got a lot invested in your front seven. Obviously, and we've talked about that, transfer money. You know, go back 10 years, they're paying Ty Law, they're paying Laura Malloy, paying all these guys a lot of money in the secondary, and you're kind of plugging in the Anthony Pleasants and Ted Washingtons of the world. And
winning.
You're getting some things done. Yeah, winning. But it's amazing. It shows you how you need a cover corner, at least one. So you don't have to worry about one half of the field. That way, if one of your corners is struggling, you could roll coverage that way instead of having to roll it both ways and then opening everything in the middle and making yourself vulnerable. There's a lot of money being paid up front, and these guys have not gotten pressure on a quarterback yet.
Well, that's, I think, the point that we were talking about yesterday is, you know, forget – don't even think about Matt Cassel until you can figure out what these all-pros are doing out there.
He's not, he's part of the – Matt's part of the – but he's not that big of a part of the problem as people think he is.
Right.
What did you expect? I mean, going into this game, he was 3-1 as a starter.
Right.
You tell me Brady goes down first series – and they're going to be 3-1 a couple weeks into it with a guy that hasn't played since we all know high school, and I think that's getting beat to death. Let's get past that. It's going to be a work in progress every week with this guy.
Is it? What did you think of Bill's comments? I think it was yesterday when asked about the pass rush and the guys up front, and he said, well, he basically said it was a tough spot against San Diego. They have a pretty big, good offensive line. You're worrying about LaDainian, so it's hard to get up. I mean,
Rivers
kind of sounds like a little excuse making.
Rivers got rid of the football pretty good. Yeah, he did a good job reading it.
Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, Adalys Thomas, they're paid a lot of money to be as good as the good quarterback, to get to the quarterback who has might be getting rid of the ball, but you're paid a lot of money to get there.
Did you ever play basketball?
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's a good
– I mean, if you play
brought that up.
You play basketball with four guys, okay? It's what, a five-on-five game?
Yeah. Right.
Other team, you give the other team five, you play with four. You're probably going to lose, right, because it's a mismatch, 5-on-4.
Right.
I went back and watched that game a couple times, and you watch that second half when they need to make a play up front. There were times maybe about 55-60% of the time they're only rushing four guys. Now, last time I checked, there's a center, two guards, two tackles. That's five.
Yeah, I think
let me see.
Nine.
We got four. They got five. And, oh, yeah, we'll keep it back in the chip, so we'll give that six. You're not going to get pressure rushing four guys.
Right, but when that happens, the quarterback's not supposed to be able to complete passes when that happens.
If you're covering.
Correctly. Right.
Right. And that's a good point, Freddie, yeah.
You know?
But the problem is, you want to blitz, you're going to leave guys on islands out there, and they can't do that.
Wait, might give up big plays? Well, you're giving up big plays not blitzing.
What Andy's point, and I agree with it, is that the way that Bill talked about it, it's almost like, well, okay, well, we were really
we were really
concentrating on LT, and that's what they came into this game doing. And that's certainly, I mean, that's sound strategy going into a San Diego game, okay? I'm not sitting here saying, what were they thinking trying to stop LaDainian Tomlinson? He is the best back in football. But to me, it was kind of disconcerting to think that if you put that much effort to stop the run, that everything else had to deteriorate the way it did. We're not going to get any pressure because we're trying to stop the run. We're not going to be able to cover deep passes because we're trying to stop the run.
Nobody's
making
plays.
We played a single deep safety with single coverage on the outside, and all of a sudden, anybody that wanted to get deep against the Patriots could. And, you know, Bill talked about when you're worried about stopping the run, you're trying not to get upfield and get out of position because it creates running lanes.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, there's no pass rush at all.
Right.
And I think that you're right, Zoe. They only had – Mike Reese likes to break down the number of snaps and stuff, and he had it at –
He's in the numbers.
Yeah, nine plays that they rushed more than four guys.
Yeah.
It's seven with five and two with six.
But aren't
but it's
these,
like Bill's giving him a free
guys
pass.
Supposed to be good enough?
Yeah.
To
that's
–
I think
that,
Andy
that is
point.
My point. I don't care – you know, they're supposed to be good enough. Richard Seymour's supposed to collapse the pocket. Vince Wilfork's supposed to collapse the pocket. Right. Whether there's two guys on him, three guys on him, a back chipping him, get a little pressure. I'm not saying you have to get a sack. I'm not expecting him to be Jason Taylor off the edge and just run through the quarterback. But
that's what he was in Miami.
Effective.
When he played at the U, he was a guy to get after the quarterback.
I just think they – yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but he didn't play nose tackle.
Weight now.
Yeah, he was
– well, different guy now.
I just think to give them a free pass and say, well, we shut down Tomlinson – that's a free pass, and that's an excuse. And to me, that's what, as Patriots observers, we've criticized other teams for doing, just saying, well, Patriots are pretty good now. That's why they won.
Well
are you just saying the Chargers are good and you couldn't beat them?
Well, one of our callers asked the question yesterday, and maybe it's valid. Does this coaching staff overestimate the cover capability of the secondary? You know, do they? Can these guys just not cover one-on-one?
I think you overestimated Delta O'Neal. I mean, there's a reason he was cut by Cincinnati. I understand there's a cap hit there and all that. But
if he was that good. Yeah. And he was a backup.
It wasn't a Asante Samuel one.
I mean,
if he was that good, you make it work.
Right.
You know, there's a reason. And that's a bad franchise. It's a bad football team. And now he's your he's one of your top guys. I love pizza. It looks good. So I'll probably stay in our segment. No, I'm kidding.
I'll work.
We don't do segments.
Segment.
No, we don't have segments. This segment ends at 2.
Oh, we don't have commercial breaks?
No, we do.
Hey,
we
no, seriously,
ramble.
But I mean, the alarming thing is the amount of points being scored. It's two blowouts. Yeah. You know, I mean, they got their asses kicked in two games.
Yeah.
I think if
Richard said, you know, we need to get back to the ways of 0-1. He said this when Brady went down. We've won without him when he didn't have the weapons, or when we won with him when he didn't have these weapons like Randy, like Welker.
Right.
We won 14-13.
I agree with
right.
that.
Even if you hold team, if they held those Chargers to 17-20 points. Don't forget, and I know everybody's talked to death about the first and goal.
Right.
I say run it four times down there. I don't know why they're trying to have them throw it.
Right.
But that was a one-possession game, as bad
That's
as
right.
it was up to that point. It's
a,
as bad
it's
as they
a, it's
played.
It's a one-touchdown game.
It's a 17-10 game if they
yep.
score.
Yeah,
I
yep.
think if they had lost games like that, Zoe, the way you're talking, I don't think there would be this kind of panic.
No.
Because I think that right now people are seeing system-wide failure.
They got smoked.
Right.
Smoked.
It's not just – I mean, I know, like you said, Matt's getting all the heat. Because he's not getting the ball in from the 1 yard line on four plays. We know Tom would have, you know. But if they had lost, say, 17-13, you're looking at it and say, well, you know what? They're a little limited offensively.
Right.
The defense can't win it by itself, but they're losing 30-10.
That's how the Ravens
38-13.
Right, right.
You know, that's a system wide failure.
I'll take
to me.
That.
And that tells me that Tom was covering up a lot of deficiencies in this team.
Because he's better than people actually think he is, which is.
Believe it or not, he's underrated. He's underrated.
Covering up those deficiencies by scoring points.
What yes.
The, right. What by the end getting out of hand, it's 21-0.
You know, everybody says, you know, if they got in on first and goal or in that series and it's 17-10, maybe the game changes. Maybe it would have changed. It quite possibly could have.
That was game.
But the fact remains that the offense would have had to change the game for the defense.
Yeah.
Everybody was insistent last year, Fred, and you were one of the few that, you know, were on my side on this, that the defense, you know, was great. And we just kept there looking and said, How can you not be great?
It's just
when
okay.
When you score 50 points
right.
every game, sooner or later the other team's offense says, I give up.
Right.
I can't compete anymore.
Right.
I can't keep up.
Like the Patriots might have done. But
they did that.
I
think you saw that.
Yeah.
The wind out of the sails comments that Rodney and Seymour
right.
had.
That's right.
You know, it was like they sucked all the air out of us with
that's
that.
That's what I don't get there. I mean, why should that suck the air out?
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't. It's an excuse.
Dumb thing to say.
What part of the field is a defensive unit? Do you want to just run on the field? Man, we got to pin on the one. Let's get their ass for safety. Let's get the ball right back.
Let's
You're
get
absolutely,
it right back.
And that's why yesterday we were adamant in saying, look, don't even start criticizing Matt Castle until you finish with this defense and all these Pro Bowlers that the Patriots have on that team. Where are they?
And
if they were losing 17-3, okay, now we look at the offense. But they're losing 30-10.
And as a defense, if you want to start pointing fingers, I mean, as an offense, if you want to start pointing fingers back and forth and you defense say, well, we were deflated when you didn't score.
Right.
Well, how do you think they felt when you gave up a 48-yard pass on the first play of the game?
Right.
Matt Castle might have been a little deflated there. Oh, crap, I got to win a shootout today.
I won't attack Castle because I've been there. I know how hard it is. And it's not like he planned for this, but, you know, like I said, it's a work in progress. I expect him to manage games and at the end of the year to maybe have four more touchdowns than interceptions. Like 20 touchdowns, 20 picks. You know, I mean, 20 touchdowns, 16 picks.
Right.
Yeah, I expect him to be somewhere in there. Nothing great, but to where the touchdowns are better than the interceptions, but not by a lot.
Let me ask
Patriots
you.
Patriots fans are expecting too much out of him.
A question as a quarterback, and obviously one of the things he's failed at is getting the ball deep to Randy Moss. He's underthrown him too many times here now. Should we say, well, that's a pretty easy throw to just throw it up there and let Randy Moss go get it, or no? Because, I mean, on paper, it looks...
He's overthinking it.
Throw it as far as you can, as fast as you can, and let Randy go get it is the theory.
That's it. It is it.
And he's not doing that. He's underthrowing him a lot.
And it's almost like he's aiming that ball to him
right.
where he can't go through the reads. And it's almost like Randy freaks... You've seen Randy adjust the route as to where when he's running it and, boom, the hand goes up, that's a sign that I'm switching the route. And it's almost that... It's that herky-jerky panic thing where,
right.
oh, my God, and then he kind of pulls a string on it.
Right.
He's got to let it go. Randy said it best 2 weeks ago. Somebody asked Randy, do you believe in Matt Castle? Do you have confidence in him? He says,
doesn't matter
what I think. He's got to have confidence in himself. He's got to have confidence in where he throws the football. It's a trust factor, and right now he doesn't have it.
Right.
So,
well,
all right, boys?
All right. Well, that's
guys, enjoy the pizza. It's been great being in here. Gary, keep a clean house.
You had enough of us, huh?
Scott, thanks for stopping by. That's Scott Zolak.
Yeah, this
Broadway
is Scott Zolak. Maybe I did steal your lunch, but look how many free ones I got you.
There
Download
you go.
This podcast right now.
There you go. Scott is becoming more and more part of the Patriots franchise here.
Well, he lost his other job.
In his second life.
Well,
right? It wasn't my fault. Brian Morey put you out of business.
Brian Morey left the company. That's why everything went under.
That's why
Citadel lost $800 billion in quarter four.
Well, Brian Morey left 2 weeks after he left.
No, I think it's because he came the first time that you guys went
out of business. Hello, I'd like to tell you something. How's everybody there? It's all safe. Guys, it's good to be back here, everybody, again.
And I have some good stories.
Come on down, see the Hall of Patriot place. It's a great job. Bring down the kids. Guys, I got to go. I'll see you.
See ya.
I love good stories.
Thanks. Scott Zolak, it's 12:18. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Have a Mexican grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Super League championship in the history books. The Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or over to participate. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to RevolutionSoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
October 7, 2008. Important safety tip. At the risk of duplicating the drivel that bogs down the relevant football items in Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback column, I give you some PFW aggravating, or more appropriately, frightening travel moments of the trip. Let's just put it this way. Enter a car driven by Michael Parenti at your own risk. As we were buzzing past car after car, all I could think about was my wife and kids and if I would ever see them again. Really? I'm getting too old for this macho high school bull ampersand asterisk carrot percentage exclamation point. Eric, Mr. Responsibility himself, is sitting next to me in the backseat shaking his head at every move Mike makes. Eric must have thought it was a Wednesday PFW in progress show because he never uttered a word. What a PU ampersand asterisk carrot exclamation point.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
That's a good one. That was a good one.
Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
Good to see Scott Zolak here to open up the show and get his perspective. And I think he pretty much shares what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
That the blame pie is a very thin slice for Matt Cassel and much bigger on the established guys who are supposed to be stepping up at this time.
I was
based
glad
on
to hear
some
that
of his tone,
too.
The coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was glad to hear him say that about Cassel. And I know that he's a backup quarterback himself, so it probably is something that he feels strongly about. But
I think
just
he's right, though.
Cassel's just getting killed.
And it's not fair.
And I don't think he's played great. I'm not trying to say he's played like Brady played
no,
in 2001. He's not. He's made mistakes. He's made a lot of them. But I think to put it all on him, the way that a lot of the fans are, yeah. And you saw that the SPFWs, we had to have 50, 55, we need to get rid of this bum. He doesn't belong in the NFL emails.
Well, I was at my kid's Pop Warner practice last night, and one of the fathers comes up and, how's the team doing, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you know, I thought it was more competitive than people think because if you take away those four long plays, but I said
you
can't
just take those
do
away,
that.
Right?
Because if they didn't do it with the four long
plays,
what if
we took away the Patriots' touchdown and field goal?
Right. You don't know if they wouldn't have done it another way. The fact is you get those long plays because you can.
You take away those 18 wins last year. The Patriots really weren't that good.
Yeah.
They were 0-1.
But, you know, there's always
plays
like that.
I hate when people make those arguments.
The San Francisco game, you know. Well, what if you took away the four third down completions that Cassel had to extend drives? I mean, the Niners have won the game?
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
You can't just take indiscriminate plays out of games.
You take away that 98 run by him, and he would have only had 100 yards. Well, yeah, but, you know.
Patrick Cobbs. You take away those two long touchdowns, and they really kept Patrick Cobbs in check last week.
You know, so.
Two long touchdowns.
So it's you just can't, at this point, make excuses. You really have to be, you know, critical and look at what needs to be done. And I think the good news for Patriots fans, you know, if I'm going to put a positive spin on it, the good news is that we're pointing at guys who we know are better than they're playing because they've done it before. You know, we're not looking at Matt Cassel that we don't have a history at. We're looking at guys like Seymour and Wilfork and Warren and Vrabel and Brewski and
Thomas.
And Thomas. These are guys we know can play better. So hopefully they do.
What about the secondary?
That one I don't know about. I mean, I know Harrison, what he can do, but he's not really one-on-one cover
say, really,
guy.
We don't. I think that, you know, and Rodney talked about this last week in Cali, and you guys were with me.
Girl?
And he talked about, you know, and I think, Eric, actually, you asked the question.
Saying, about the secondary.
Know, did you think it was kind of coming together a little bit? And he said, you know, heading into San Francisco, we had lost the Miami game, and, you know, people were wondering, Chad Pennington completed 17 out of 20. Can the secondary stop anybody? We come up with three interceptions in San Francisco, and suddenly we're gelling.
Right.
Well, no, not really. We're still trying to search and find our way here. And then, sure enough, you come up on the next game, and it's a disaster in the deep balls.
But besides the point that Rivers is infinitely better than J.T. O'Sullivan, what was the difference between the 49er game and the Chargers?
Pressure. Yeah.
They didn't sack him. They only sacked him once, but he was not throwing from his comfort.
Right. I was trying to say with Zoe, and Andy's right. I thought Zoe was, you know, somewhat veiled in his criticism of the coaches. I think that the difference in those two games to me was they didn't go in trying to stop Frank Gore in San Francisco. Their goal in San Francisco was to put as much pressure on an inexperienced quarterback as they could.
Yeah.
Right.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Well, this game, their goal was to stop LaDainian Tomlinson. We're going to put eight men in the box. We're not going to worry about putting pressure on the passer. We're not going to worry about doubling on the outside. We're going to stop LaDainian Tomlinson. So that tells me that the only thing that this defense can really succeed is the one thing that they put all their effort to. And Bill always tells me, no matter who you are in this league, if you devote your attention to stopping one thing, anybody could stop it. Mm-hmm. So that's not very impressive to me.
And we went into the season saying, look, you know, the defense could be better because the front seven's going to help out this secondary. you know, because we don't know that much about the secondary, but the front seven will make up for that, or we'll have to.
But evidently now they have to do different things to get pressure. And they can't just go out there and get pressure on their own.
And they're not even doing that. So you can't even look at the secondary yet until you see how the front seven can play up to their ability.
You know, I read that story in the Globe today about explaining the lack of a pass rush. And I get the point, they try to stop LT. But after a while, when they're completing bomb after bomb after bomb, how about switching things up and maybe try to put the pressure on for Rivers and take away the deep passing game?
Well, but that goes back to the Miami.
You just do the same thing for four quarters and get killed?
That goes back to the Miami game. They saw the Ronnie Brown play over and over again, and they didn't stop. Well, that's a good question. That's the problem.
Man, I'm really kind of disenchanted with some of the explanations I've been hearing the last couple of days.
And I think this
wasn't as bad as it looked. Well, this is what we tried to do, and we did it. Well, okay, you stopped LT. Great. He wasn't a factor.
And they didn't really hand him the ball that much,
either. No, they didn't even try to run
the
ball.
They came out throwing the ball, and they came out with that first big play that went like 50 yards.
Right, and I think the only difference between these two West Coast games was Mike Martz is stubborn to a fault.
Yes.
And he sits there and he looks at it and says, Andy, I made this comment to you during the game, and you must have been thinking the same thing. There was a series, I think it was only like 17-14 at the time, and the Niners get the ball back. Patriots come out in their nickel package with maybe even the dime with like one defensive lineman or two defensive linemen and six defensive backs. And Andy and I looked at each other and go, March won't run here. And he didn't. He threw the ball three times, three and out. They punted because he can't help himself. That's what he wants to do. He just has to throw the football. So it worked against San Francisco. San Diego went in and said, this is what they're going to do to us. We're going to counteract that by doing this.
But they seem to figure that out right away.
That was their game plan.
They first play of the game.
They thought they
could. That's what I mean.
In Mike's opposing view explained it really nicely. They thought they could really exploit the outside matchups, and they were.
They knew they were going to get a lot of man coverage with one safety deep, and they were going to take advantage
plan.
Of that.
That's game plan.
Yeah,
exactly. That's not Mike Martz just saying. Well, that's what
we're
I
gonna
do.
Chuck it.
I throw deep in cuts every play, even though I have JT O'Sullivan as my quarterback, and I'm going to put it all on him.
But the problem is, the Patriots knew it was coming too. Like, they game planned to expect the big play. They just couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
How about a practice report, anybody?
Sure. Hey, Mike's got.
Hey,
Mike's back from practice.
Well, as expected, we had Oliver Ross and Steven Neal stretching. The clock officially starts today, 21-day window. Either you're cut, you're activated, or you're on IR at that point. So those two are out there. We had seven guys out. No Kelly Washington, no Lamont Jordan, no Lawrence Maroney, no Eric Alexander. Surprisingly, no Matt Light, no Nick Kazier. So there are no tackles on the team anymore, apparently.
No, Oliver Ross.
Yeah, Oliver Ross and Mark LaVore and Wesley Britt. And Jarvis Green also not out there.
Kazier.
Oh, and one more thing, too. Number 17, Maurice Price back out there, even though he was not on the active roster as of Sunday. So
I'm wondering if there was an IR move made, and we don't know about
it. It could be that. There is an extra spot on the practice squad, so Ben Jarvis Green Ellis could go back, and Price could go back on the active roster. Or I don't know if Price
vice
has
versa.
Any.
I saw Price.
He was on the practice squad in Kansas City, so he could be on the practice squad.
Okay, so Price
here.
Would have practice squad eligibility, so there could be a move there. But I was thinking the same thing, too. Maybe there's an IR coming somewhere.
I saw Price in the locker room, and it almost looked like he looked in, and then he saw everybody and was like, well, I should probably go back
out.
Yeah, well, then he kind of let the cat out of the bag by showing up in his jersey during stretching. So,
well, I mean, he's on the practice field because he's on the team.
A move has been obviously made, and hopefully we'll get an announcement soon.
Well, Kazier, we don't know the extent of his injury, but he looked in pain.
Yeah, he had a big boot by his locker, too.
He was walking pretty well.
He walked
pretty
well.
He had sneakers on, was just walking, had a black sleeve on.
Okay.
The limp was there, but I wouldn't say a terrible limp. I actually saw him talk to Mike Reese on his way out of the locker room, but didn't look as bad today as I expected.
Well, for what it's worth, we had a chance to talk to Oliver Ross today, and he did say he is, as though he's played both sides of the line, he is more comfortable on the right side, and he's played more of that the last 3 years. So it would seem if a move is made and he's activated, it would be a seamless transition for him.
So,
you know,
there's
position
a chance
wise.
They could have two new right
I think
offensive
a,
linemen.
And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. I think there's a good chance of that.
The whole, that
Neal,
whole right
Neal
side
and Ross
could
be
different
next starters week. Next week.
Now, Ross, what's his MO in terms of playing style? Like, is he more of a
big, athletic,
Nick?
Versatile,
versatile position?
No, I'm actually wondering in terms of, I don't think of Nick Kazier as a pass blocker. I mean, as a run blocker. I think of him more of a pass blocker who's not very good at pass blocking. but I think of Steven Neal as a run blocking guard.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this could lead to a more
run-oriented
offense.
It's possible.
Well,
of course, you probably need
Lamont
a couple
Jordan
running backs
back.
For
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis can run.
Yeah.
He seems to have the frame of more of a
pass blocking.
He does. He's not massive. He's not a road grader, I wouldn't say.
But we'll see. I mean, you know, that remains to be seen until he plays.
Comes from Pittsburgh, and they run the ball in Pittsburgh.
Well, exactly. So maybe he had to have some experience,
right,
you know, in that system doing that.
I'm just wondering, I think I said this to you, Fred, yesterday. This offense, to me, lacks an identity right now. I don't think they know what they are, what they do
well, what
they can turn to when, you know, they've had some success.
That's understandable, though.
No, I know, but
when you lose the quarterback,
at some point, I think you kind of need to develop one.
Sure.
You need to have something that you say, okay, I feel pretty comfortable that we can do X.
Yep.
And I'm not sure right now there's an X.
Well, are you comfortable that they can do either one?
No.
Right.
But I'm just saying, well, unless we're just going to bag the season in October here,
I'm not saying yet. But your point, Andy, I think is part of what we're hearing from Bill and about, you know, it wasn't as bad as it looked and we were doing this, we did the, you know, accentuating the things that they did well. Because I think he really probably is looking at it as we're still searching for that identity. We don't know what we are yet. And I'm trying to focus on the things that we're doing right, not the things that we're doing wrong.
Well, they're never really going to tell us what the backroom conversations are. Maybe Michael Holly will write a book someday and we'll find out.
We won't find out in the book either.
But, you know, it would be fascinating to just know the conversation between Josh McDaniel and Belichick and what they're trying to figure out with the offense and what they're trying to do and trying to establish and how they have really truly evaluate what they've got right now.
Because they've always been game plan, week to week, week.
They can't
I'm not
do
sure
that
you can
right
do
now.
That with Matt Castle.
That's right.
I think you need to ask Matt Castle to do something and do it again and again. And you need to really look at, okay, what are my strengths? I can't always just say, what is their biggest weakness? I need to say, what are my strengths and play to those, because I don't have the most versatile and talented quarterback in the game.
Yeah, but you don't have the guy who can do everything.
Yeah. Right. And Brady has shown he can do everything.
Exactly.
He's dink and dunked. He's bombed away.
That's a great point, Andy.
Thanks, Paul.
Isn't that going
I'm high on that
He
point.
Was just
going
to say that. But
no,
was
I wasn't. Never even thought of it. Never even thought of it. That's
isn't
a great
isn't
point.
Isn't that going to make the team, the offense, too predictable and have all the help be able to other
but
defenses.
That's the point where
the Chargers were predictable Sunday night and they won.
You just
sometimes
win.
You just got to go to your strengths.
This team was pretty predictable last year.
I, by the way, vote for I'd like to run a Chargers offense. If North Turner is hand the ball off, go deep, I'm okay with hand the ball off, go deep here. I have all these supposed running backs if they get healthy.
And a great wide
and I have Randy Moss.
Yeah.
I'm okay with trying to do that.
And you can run Gaffney deep too.
Right,
it doesn't have to be Moss every time.
More
you
than
know,
half
maybe
the league is predictable, you know,
right.
in quotes, predictable. Because I don't think Shanahan, we happen to have one this week that's like Bill. Bill Shanahan's a game plan coach like Bill is.
Right.
But most of the other, you know, look at Pittsburgh. Has had the same basic offensive philosophy for 30 years. Works for them. You know?
But that's, I'm saying that's what's made the Patriots successful in the Belichick era is the fact that they game planned.
No,
they
I know.
Predictable.
But
but I think they could,
now,
they only
but
could
now
do
you
it
have to wonder
Brady.
How much of it was unpredictability and how much of it was that Brady could do anything. Like Bill would say, you know, I think Tom Brady would be successful in any system.
Right.
And that's been proven
of
correct.
Of course he would. Of course he would.
I think they need an identity right now.
And what would you want that identity?
Run, 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 pass.
You want to become the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Or, sure. Well, a little more deep-oriented for Randy Moss.
Okay.
I think if you give I'm assuming Castle's going to get better at those deep balls, and sooner or later, like Zoe says, just throw it. And I think you're going to win a lot of those battles against a lot of DBs in this league. I think there's a lot of bad DBs. I think Randy Moss can make some plays, and I think it gives you a chance.
I think that's a big assumption.
What?
That he'll get better at the deep ball.
I'm
just saying.
We have no hope anymore? Because if I have, don't have that, I...
The number one thing offensively that I think has to improve is that I think they need to be able to run the ball with some sort of consistency, and they haven't. They just haven't.
I know, but I don't know if they're going to.
No, I don't either.
Well, then how are they going to do run, run, pass if they can't run the ball?
You get three downs every time you get the ball.
But if you go run, run, pass, and it's third and eight, it's hard to beat them deep.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's what they've been facing a lot when they've been trying to run the ball.
No question.
So throw deep first and
then
run.
Their success on the ground, to me, has been very sporadic.
Pass, run, run.
Run, pass, run.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482, webradio at patriots.com. Tomorrow is the Qdoba question of the weekday. And, of course, that's the day where we ask a question about something that happened on the Wednesday or Tuesday show. First caller who gets it right wins a 20-person buffet from Qdoba, burritos and tacos. You can pick it up at any participating Massachusetts Qdoba. And Qdoba is actually opening up tomorrow right here at Patriot Place. So come on down and check it out.
Check it out.
I think it's today, actually.
The 15th? Okay, well, come on down today and go to Qdoba.
Come on down today.
Yeah.
While you're here, go to CBS Scene, too.
Right.
Have a Paul Perillo-like afternoon.
So did we give out the time?
Hit Davios on the way out.
What's that, Fred?
Can we give out the time that we're going to ask the question tomorrow?
Do we give it out? Yes, we do.
What
the
time
that's right. There's a
be.
Puma store here.
I don't know. What time you want to give it out?
1:10.
At 1:10 today, we'll give out the time, or it's 1:10 tomorrow?
That's the time to call in tomorrow.
The time every week. So apparently if you listen at 1:10 on Thursdays, you'll know when to call.
Tomorrow, call in at 1:10 for the question.
When do you give the question?
At 1:10.
At 1:10. You don't know the question until you come on, Paul.
Right.
Unless Fred gives it away beforehand, as he did last week, allowing Mitch to win.
Yeah, I heard some story about that.
Glenn, I don't know the question yet. I haven't figured it out.
I'm not giving it to you. Andy's going to read it.
Oh, boy. You can't be trusted with the question, apparently.
All right.
Wow, Fred, that's tough.
So we got the Broncos coming up, Monday Night Football. I'm looking
forward. Your team. I imagine you look forward to this.
You're back
game.
On the Broncos.
No, I'm not on the Broncos. Jay Cutler, kind of a little bit worried about him.
How so?
He seems a little bit cocky.
Well, he's a confident guy.
Yeah.
He's no Philip Rivers. He's also coming off a season.
Yeah, I know, but he, as far as I'm concerned, he's dead to me.
What?
Dead? He said that his arm is as strong as John Elway's.
John Elway agreed with him.
Well, he's going to say that now, but no way.
No, he doesn't have to say anything
now,
Elway. Elway basically come out and say, screw that. I'm John Elway.
Right.
He's got no ties. He's got no bridges to burn anymore.
He's still a Bronco. He still helps out the team.
And he owns the Arena League team, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He sells a lot of cars out there, doesn't he?
Right.
No, he sold those.
He sold that.
He remarried a cheerleader.
Oh, really? Good for him. God bless him.
I don't think that Cutler should be saying that kind of stuff. Well talking about a legend.
But Elway kind of agreed with him.
I don't care what Elway did. He's a magnanimous guy. He would do that.
I probably wouldn't have said it either.
I don't think that word ever.
It's very good, Fred.
Did you like that?
I don't think he should have said it, but
that's a word I
doesn't mean it's not true.
What?
I said, I don't think he should have said it, but
yeah.
Apparently they have Eddie Royal possibly coming back.
Nobody throws the ball like Elway, in my mind.
So they're going to be stocked up. They basically gave those guys the week off and said they're going to be back next week.
Yeah.
Like last Wednesday, I think he was quoted as
Scheffler
saying,
and Royal.
Royal.
Royal and
who's the other guy? If the Patriots had trouble with Malcolm Floyd, what are they going to do with Brandon Marshall?
Not cover him.
Cover zero.
But if they do like they did with LT and make the entire secondary run with Brandon Marshall, they'll stop him.
But that's what I'm. They'll shut down Michael Pittman. That's why I don't think that the deep ball will be as much of a problem this week, because I think that will be the focus. That's what Denver does, obviously, every week. And I think when Bill decides I'm going to take something away, he generally does.
I think Marshall's still going to hurt him. I think he's pretty good. And I think he's good enough where he can do it a couple ways. I think he can catch it short. And you know those times when we say Ellis Hobbs, wow, he just wrapped around those waists? I think Brandon Marshall runs through those. He's a very strong receiver, has some speed, and I think the balance between the two, as Mike said, if Royal can play, they have a little bit of a Moss Welker thing where Royal is the 5'8", shifty, has a little more big play speed than Welker. If he breaks one, he can be gone more than Welker's not really a big play guy. But I think that's dangerous, and I think that makes it difficult, as you saw for teams last year, to take away one or the other. You're still going to give up plays through the air if you really sell out to either guy.
Right.
Especially if you, you know, are coming off a bad week as a secondary.
Well, by then, that's all we'll have is
especially
Patriots.
Especially if you have no safety help over the top. Over.
That's true.
I think the Red Sox season will be over tomorrow night, Freddie.
Yeah. I do, too.
Hey, you know, last year they were down 3-1.
Well, it seems like every one of their championship runs starts with some fluke comeback, so they'll probably do that again, too.
And they have a big gap in their lineup.
Nothing fluky about their comeback last year.
Also,
where Manny Ramirez
I think all 3-0, 3-1 comebacks
are kind of
fluky. Not when y'all
score.
I was going
to
say.
35-4.
Maybe EEI should tell their callers to call our show and say,
well,
talk more football.
That would indicate a massive turnaround, wouldn't it?
Screw the Sox.
Nothing
fluky
about
football.
I disagree, but okay.
They lost a couple of fluky games in Cleveland to go down 3-1.
By the way,
it's all about your interpretation of fluky.
Stop!
These two guys have been getting in some heated conversations about baseball.
Yeah, we had
everybody's a little bit pissy here because their golden boy Joe Torre screwed the pooch in Game 4 and completely put his team behind the eight ball.
We had to give up on the Joe Torre argument because Mike was getting a little too mad.
No, because I was right. Yeah. That's why you had to give up on the argument, because he's down 3-1 and I'm
right
again.
Did he suddenly not win four World Series?
It doesn't matter what he did 8 years ago.
Did he not suddenly leave one team? They didn't make the postseason,
Jesus
and they went
Christ.
To a team and they made the postseason? I'm just saying.
The
it
guy's bullpen mismanagement
you're big on the
is
facts.
Notorious
that
around
well
the league. It's
right
in
there.
All the papers, and no one else seems to read that or see it.
Well,
but
no one is claiming the guy's never made mistakes, managerial mistakes.
No,
of course he has.
You're saying that he
is a good manager. Yes, that's what
Teflon
I'm saying. You
Joe.
Say he stinks.
You say
he stinks at in-game management,
Paul. I don't believe that. Just because he made a mistake last night doesn't mean you're right.
If you can't manage on the field and move your chess pieces and actually make decent decisions. And what the hell good
well,
are you?
I
was going to say.
Well, great. He has Manny Ramirez smiling and having a good time. Great. He'll have a good time in the friggin' winter.
I guess
time
you're right.
Too,
I guess Bill suddenly can't coach anymore because he made really bad moves of his chess pieces Sunday night that didn't work.
Not even comparable.
Speaking of Bill.
No, he doesn't have as many Super Bowls as Joe Torre has World Series titles.
He hasn't had an 8-year drought either.
Speaking of Bill Belichick, Five. He was a guest on that Totally Patriot show. They filmed it at the Hall of Patriot Place, and the kids ask him questions. One of the questions, what's your favorite movie? He says, funny movie, Caddyshack.
All right.
And otherwise, his favorite movie was, what do you think?
The Godfather.
No.
Scalavino.com,
hey,
the movie.
I was a little surprised. Idea. I thought, you know, but what do you think is?
I have no idea.
Napoleon Dynamite.
The Godfather.
No.
I just said that.
He just said that.
I wasn't listening.
I don't know.
No,
kid.
Born Identity.
Oh,
yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, wow.
You love those, and that
I thought it was a great movie. But
the first one was outstanding.
To be your favorite
the
of
best
all time
ever. I mean,
yeah,
was it that good?
I think maybe it was the first one he had thought of. Maybe.
Maybe he doesn't watch a lot of
the
movies.
Most recent
probably
one he's
not.
Seen.
I got to go with Living on a Prayer.
Yeah. So, I just thought that was interesting.
That's his favorite song of all time, Living on a Prayer.
His favorite Bon Jovi song.
Oh.
Probably. I put money that it was
I don't know.
His
he likes
song of all
that said, other song for karaoke. He likes.
They love Potion Number 9.
Oh, yeah.
I held my nose. I closed my eyes. I took
a drink.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. No. But that was at training camp. They asked him what his favorite Bon Jovi song. I mean, he said I'd have to go with Living on a Prayer.
I got to go with Living on a Prayer.
That was in a press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
This summer.
Oh, that was pre-colonoscopy.
It may not have been this summer.
I think it was last year, wasn't it?
No, I think I said that.
It may have been last year.
You did, Bill.
All right. Well, what else, guys? What do we have to...
The guy steps off the building.
Anything else?
Waving each floor as he goes by. It's great, you know, until he hits the pavement.
Is that Bill this week?
That was the draft, I think, right? Like the parade waving as the parade goes by?
I thought it was Bill this week.
Any other observations of the game just gone by that you want to get off your chest?
I think we got that all out of our system.
Yeah, I was at the game.
Apparently.
Yeah, I think we hit on all the bullet points. They have to be more consistent offensively. They have to run the ball a little bit better to help Elcastle. Defensively, they got to get some pressure on the passer. And probably,
and for
probably
bad
not
radio,
exposing,
we're all agreeing.
Probably not exposing their cornerbacks to one-on-one coverage
we
deep downfield.
I think Bill addressed the whole thing about halftime walking in. Some people were speculating that Josh McDaniels might have been yelling at him or something. But
I didn't see that, and I didn't hear what Michaels and Madden had to say. Could you guys fill me in on that?
Well, Michaels was saying he was insinuating that, you know, McDaniels was yelling.
Ooh.
Madden kind of downplayed that a little bit. And then the noise at the stadium was pretty loud, so McDaniels probably had to talk loud just to be heard. And Belichick addressed and said all we were talking about was what we were going to address at halftime and how we were going to come out in the second half.
I don't know why anybody would say anything different.
Well,
it
kind of looked like McDaniels
what's
was
his name?
Talking.
Brian and what's his name go, taking swings at each other on the sideline. I mean, coaches kind of have to talk loud, and there's a lot going on. You have a lot of adrenaline. I mean,
right.
What do we want him to sit down and, like Eric, with a thing of tea? And
sounds pretty good right now, actually.
Well, I mean, tempers can flare between coaches, and it's fine. It doesn't really matter if it happens or not. Come on. I think you move on from that stuff after the game.
Actually, I heard McDaniels couldn't believe Born Identity was his favorite movie.
All right.
That would be a good one of those to take. You know how we do the ads in the paper where we take things, and like on McDaniels' play card, it says one of the things is order PFW. If we had a video ad, we could dub that over. I can't believe you didn't order PFW yet. What are you doing? That would be good. Should we do that?
Like the Coors Light commercial?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we do that? Can we do a video?
Maybe.
No, because unless you play it a billion times. What was his excuse why we couldn't have a video
ad? We couldn't do diddly poo.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Chris Ferreira edits the commercials out of PFW, the TV show, right? Why don't we make some in-house commercials to air during there? We have a production company like behind that brick wall right there.
That's not a bad idea.
How about that?
Yeah.
So just not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make money for the organization, friend.
You're having a good day, Andy.
Cut one of these guys.
Russell writes in, just a couple questions. How is it the Cowboys can afford to bring in Roy Williams? I thought they were up against the cap big time, and not that it would help. But do you think it would be helpful to play some of the younger linebackers like Crable, who've been inactive every week so far? He might get beaten coverage in the middle of the field, but he could catch them faster and be faster to the edge in outside run coverage. Plus, it would be good experience for the next year when, as Ron Borges calls him, St. Thomas of Pigskin returns. And let's hope he gets the fire back and works out like crazy and leaves that jinx bringing Brazilian skank to Rome of the beaches Aponima. Great show as always.
No, I don't speak Italian. What does that mean?
Now we're blaming it on Bridget, Bridget Gilson. What's her name?
Bridget Gilson.
Giselle Bundchen.
Giselle Bundchen.
Okay.
Bridget Gilson.
Were you thinking of like Bridget Nielsen and Giselle Bundchen? You combine them into the same person?
You're like the SPFW guy who said that was a great tackle by Jim Miller on the punt return from Sproles.
Yeah. But what about the Cowboys? A lot of moves yesterday by them. Mm-hmm. Did they give up too much for Roy Williams? A third and a fourth? Is that what they gave? Or a second and a third?
A first, a third, and a sixth.
First, a third, and a sixth.
First, a third,
was that
sixth.
Really their top need?
No.
I thought they gave up a little much for him, but I think Roy Williams is a lot better than that he's being portrayed as in terms of the national media.
And he's been on a horrible team, too, so it's hard to kind of, you know, I think he's done well given the circumstances that he's been in.
But I agree.
Now, what's T.O.'s
situation?
With Mike.
I don't think that's a huge need for them, another wide
receiver. How long has T.O. signed for? He's old. T.O. is pretty old.
People
don't remember because he's on the David Boston plan that he doesn't look as old as he is, but.
He was on Steve Young's.
That's what I mean. He's been around for like
96, I think.
Yeah,
was his rookie year.
So I think it's a good move in that I don't know what T.O.'s money is, but Roy Williams is a lot younger. He's like a 4, maybe a 5. So you're talking about your receiver to work with Tony Romo for the next decade or 9-10 years.
And they may not have paid him anything this year. So in terms of the cap, I mean, I know they signed a contract with him, but. And there was $20 million guarantee, but that doesn't necessarily mean a lot of it is
next
for this year. It could be next year.
Plus, we all know that the cap is irrelevant. You can do what you want to do if you want to do it.
No doubt.
You can get it done if you need to.
But I kind of agree with Mike. Like, you lost a cornerback.
They need help.
You lost a quarterback.
13th year for T.O., by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's old.
That's a long time. A receiver, too.
So he's older than Randy Moss?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's 2 years older.
See, it's funny.
Well, he's been in the league 2 years longer, I think.
People... That's weird.
Yeah,
no one really talks about him like he's old.
96
he's old.
Was his rookie year.
Right.
Well, there's so many other things to talk about with him.
Right.
I think age gets
Plus,
put on the back burner.
You know, he's going to be one of those guys who looks great right up until the ticker stops working at 41 or something.
Sure.
Phil from Nova
Scotia. He's on Fred's juicing plan. That was where I was going.
Oh, it worked out for me
David
last week.
I got that when you said David Boston.
I couldn't believe when Zoe goes, you ever play a little basketball?
Well, we should talk about that a little bit.
You haven't brought that up yet?
I think over the weekend, I established myself as the best athlete of this group.
Quite
I
impressive,
agree.
Although you,
I agree.
Although you only beat one person.
You played one guy.
We did play seven
well,
sports.
I think we all
but he only beat you.
No, I know, but I think we all assume Andy's the best athlete because he's the only one since sixth grade who's been lifting and taking steroids.
But see, you.
First of all, I didn't start lifting till ninth grade.
Freddie, you
started taking
steroids
in sixth grade.
Right. You really proved my point, though, Fred.
Is this the man?
You were an athlete. You had a skill in tennis.
Right.
That just doesn't disappear.
Well, there's
matter
no question
how out of,
he
doesn't
hasn't
matter
lost
how,
that.
How out of shape you are. You kicked it. What was it, 6'1", 6'0"?
Right.
Yep.
Come on.
Love.
That's what happens.
Six love.
Well, that's what happens.
See,
and that's what would happen if he stepped into the batter's box. And
see,
I picked
Andy's one of those guys who's a good athlete, but he's not good at any sports.
Oh,
you know
I don't
what I mean?
Agree with that.
He was good in football.
I would agree.
Just
so you know, I think I was.
From what I've heard.
Just so you know, I think I was good at two sports. You're right there. I'm not like a versatile.
Baseball and football.
You know, like that. Yeah. Like, I'm not one of those guys like Brady probably picks up a hockey stick and is all of a sudden going down the ice and shooting.
I don't think he would be
a good example.
So he's like me and Brady the same, football, baseball.
Because I saw him play basketball. He wasn't real good.
We were the same in the fact
he
was chose not to compete.
He was a great baseball player.
What did you play in baseball?
Second base and shortstop.
Oh.
Brady was a great baseball player. He was drafted in like the 18th round or something
like
that. That's, I mean, I know that doesn't sound like a very impressive round, but that's pretty impressive out of
high
school.
Just to be drafted,
yeah.
But the cagey veteran had his way with the youngster over the weekend in three sports.
That was a triumph for all fat guys, Freddie. Thanks.
Fred. Let's just say it correctly. Two sports.
You are cheapening
three games. Three games.
You're cheapening your
basketball,
own achievement.
Tennis, and horse.
Right. Horse is a
and he separates them with tennis down the center to give you a little divide.
That's
like a professional
two sports
league out there.
After I beat him in one-on-one basketball, this is at the end of the Superstars competition. He goes to me.
He was doing this by the. That's going to do it for NBC's coverage of the Superstar.
he goes. I'm going to go work out now. You know. He had to show me that. You know. He still had a lot more to give.
My personal favorite moment was when I got there and Andy informed me, Fred, that he let you win in 1-1.
Right. Let me win. Yeah. Because I could hit outside shots.
And I said, how did you let him win?
I didn't cover you.
He was shooting outside shots. I wasn't covering him.
We played to three and I didn't cover you.
He would shoot.
Miss. You'd get the rebound.
I'd clear it and shoot and hit it.
So first of all, that's not even how it happened.
Well, how did it happen?
How many points
you had the ball first. You shot an outside shot and scored.
Okay.
I gave you the ball. You shot again and scored.
Well, then get in his face.
You got the ball again. I started playing defense. You started trying to drive. I blocked your shot. Put the ball over. The one time I played defense and you drove.
It was an extended game. It wasn't like boom,
extended?
Boom, boom.
To three?
No, to three?
But it's not like I hit three quick shots and it was over.
With those two playing, it could have been an hour. Yeah, yeah.
Go to seven Andy and I got my money on Andy. I
think me too.
Oh, boy.
And I'll play defense.
Now, he's only like 15 years younger than me or
I think you
can
beat him to seven.
How old
does that sound?
47.
So why didn't you make the
in-game
adjustment?
I need to tell my mother because she asked me. She watched a TV show the other night and said, how old is Fred?
You didn't make the in-game adjustment. He was shooting the outside shot. You should have gone to play defense.
I think Andy was also on the play after he lost.
And by the way, when Andy had the ball, I played defense and he couldn't make a shot.
I disagree with that.
Well obviously.
I had the ball, I believe, twice. Maybe three times.
That's baloney.
And I scored on the first one when I drove right by you and put it in.
That's baloney.
What was the final score of this game? 3-1?
3-1.
3-1. Who plays the three, first of all?
We had just played two sets of tennis. Plus, we had played horse.
Now, here's where I'm going to defend Andy. Because if I was playing Fred in one-on-one after they played tennis, I would have been
those set shots really taken out of you.
And by the way,
he would have been responsible.
And by the way, in horse, what was the score? HO to horse. You couldn't even get me past HO.
You were a hoe.
You can never get past the HO, Fred.
Yeah, those bounce shots from the three-point line really take it out of you.
Well, that's the thing. I was
Andy,
trying those.
Correct him a little bit.
I think I know a little something about
what. Anything I did over the weekend, was it luck?
What?
Were there bounce shots from the three-point?
No. Well, I was attempting those. You were doing just straight-up shots. I was trying between my legs.
Because you're a choker, kid.
Right.
Fred made free throws. Andy didn't.
He basically did. You went to the free throw line at least six times.
Wait,
so
you can't shoot the same shot in horse?
I did.
Sure you can.
No. Not in a row.
You should try to do something.
Well, they obviously misinterpret their own rules, so they could just do whatever they want anyway.
I mixed it up. I was all over the place. I even did one, backwards at the foul line.
Yeah, that's not luck.
I didn't make it.
You didn't even come close. You didn't hit
the
backboard.
Hey, Gary, let's get you out there.
But the bottom line is you guys all screwed us because if you had come earlier, it was a perfect court for like a 3-on-3.
I would have been there earlier.
The three-point lines basically touched, so they took out that whole extra part in the middle that just tires
you.
Right.
It would have been perfect.
Been
it's also adjustable. We could have dunked.
Yeah. Maybe you should have guarded for the three-pointer instead of guarding for the layup while he's shooting threes.
I wasn't going to go out and cover him.
Defend the whole court.
But you know what I equate this weekend to? You know the later Sopranos, when Tony was coming back from a surgery and he had to reestablish himself as the leader and he beat the crap out of the young guy? Yeah. That was me this weekend. I was Tony Soprano.
I was worried you were going to fade to black.
I beat him against a metal cabinet.
Did you go out to the court in your bathrobe on?
Pretty much. I had my
shuffle.
We wear like real short shorts.
I forgot to put a t-shirt on. I had a regular polo.
He did. And for some reason, one nipple was sweating. There was a huge puddle on one side.
I might have been masticating.
You were lactating?
Oh.
You were what?
Is that what it's called?
I love you, Johnny Cakes.
But you know what? I never thought you were going to drag me through this, Fred. Not once when I was playing did I think, you know what? He's going to use this on the radio.
That never occurred to you? That never occurred to you.
It really didn't. Oh, and if I had lost in tennis, he wouldn't have done that?
Oh, yeah, tennis. But there's a difference. You're a tennis player.
6'1", 6'0".
You're 29.
As my buddy from Bama told me, he's a tennis player. Of course he's going to kill you.
6'1", 6'0", Andy.
You're 17 years older, younger than me.
We did hit seven foul balls during the match.
You're 17 years younger. You still take steroids and work out.
I don't know. I don't know, Mikey.
Because just so you know, he started trying when it got close and he beat me.
He's at 1-1, 1-0 in the first set. Deuce, he's going to find a way to get that game, Michael. Michael.
He does those fancy curveball things.
Oh, boy.
Any other good stories from the West Coast trip?
Yeah, I think there was one.
There was a
Eric.
Tremendous one that made me quite uncomfortable, and that was the sight of one Eric Scalavino flirting with the nurse.
Attempting
with the nurse.
With the waitress.
She was Romanian, right? Ukrainian?
Yeah. She was Romanian, I think.
So did you get
Eric, he was getting the life story, not me. It was quite uncomfortable.
Was she one of those mail order brides?
No.
We walked into this restaurant. This is when we went on our evening with the coach, which was very enjoyable.
Well, you got to talk about that too.
But
it's actually far more relevant.
Not really, actually. This is pretty good.
Yeah, not really. So we're walking up and going into this room. The waitress comes out and sees Mike, Eric, and myself. They had just taken a drink order, so we order drinks. Eric orders some, fancy.
I ordered a
Shirley Temple
to show how worldly he is.
I didn't have to.
Something.
No, Paul.
Okay, now however he pronounced the beer, what was it?
Estella Artois.
Okay, there you go. She immediately stops and says, "Oh, where are you from? I like that your accent, the way you said that." And of
Northern
course,
Providence.
Eric, instead of just
right, I don't even
thank
know
you, Fred.
With that anyway.
Thank you, Fred. Instead of just saying, "Well, I'm from Providence, Rhode Island," he, you know, it morphed quickly into within the
I
first
have
10 seconds.
No formal artistic training.
I speak six languages fluently.
Oh,
I speak several
I said,
languages.
To which
I
looked at Mike.
I'm
I said, from. "I said this is getting me very uncomfortable." Watching
I have many
Eric
leather-bound
Clark.
Books.
I have to leave.
My apartment smells of rich mahogany.
It was really, really embarrassing.
I'm not even mad.
Thankfully,
it was
Mike,
fun. You got a kick out of it.
Thankfully, Mike, I did get a kick
yourself.
Out of it because it was uncomfortable. But I'm glad that Mike was there to witness it. So mm-hmm.
can we
now
paint
no
the
one knows that I'm.
She started it.
Paint the picture of her.
Short, long,
as average looking a girl
hair.
As you could possibly
like
imagine.
Corbett type.
Okay, from the neck down.
Gymnast.
Not so much from the neck.
Actually,
up.
You know what, Fred? Maybe.
Yeah. Very, yeah. Very petite.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe. Yeah.
Somebody
possibly
explain
gymnast
who Olga Corbett is to Andy. Please.
Yeah, I never heard that name before in my life.
But Nadia Comaneci.
I've heard that.
Probably would have been good with a bag over her head.
Huh?
Would have been okay with a bag over
Olga
her head.
Olga Corbett was the 72 Olympics. Nadia Comaneci was the 76 Olympics.
Really?
A little bit better.
4 years.
A little bit
a
better rack than your normal gymnast, though.
Okay.
Not overwhelming, but.
Yeah. Okay. So did you get her number?
Thick, you know, thick accent.
Of course not.
No?
Did you get the country code?
Yeah, that's what Andy.
Calling in from upstairs.
That was my line.
Oh, that was
the
your
digits,
ball.
Yes. The 011.
011.
Well, at least he was trying. You know, what about you, Parenti?
He was. I don't really need to try.
Oh.
There was actually our last day in Santa Clara, there was a. The Utah State football team was there, and also a high school. Cheerleading squad was there, so we had to keep Mike on a show.
We had to worry about Mike.
There were like 11 of them in the pool too, at like at 11 o'clock at night,
right. Screaming and yelling. All
I
night.
Was like David Spade in Black Sheep.
So did you walk out there in
some Spectre Vision?
No, you were like the Red Sox scout. Wasn't he doing
did
that?
Did you sidle into the pool with him in your black Speedo?
No, I left the black Speedo home. I wanted a nice relaxing week.
He actually swims in pants. He doesn't wear shorts.
Is that right? You wear pants?
Well, I only wear pants everywhere, obviously, so I never wear shorts.
He did buy himself a T-shirt though in San Francisco.
I heard about that.
You heard about that?
Yeah.
Two gens have told us about it.
Oh, he did.
It's just
you'll
fun
hear
shirt.
It coming up later.
Okay.
So
it's just a fun
now,
shirt.
Should we get to the dinner with Bill Belichick that the PFW staff and beat writers took part in? No? Getting a head shake.
I'm not sure.
Well, no. I mean,
you don't have to say it. Just describe the event. Don't say anything that took place at it if it was an off-the-record casual thing. You went Mexican, right?
We went. The funniest part of it is that we Stacey James, the PR director, had kind of arranged this months ago. He thought it would be a good idea if we could, all the writers that were going to stay out there, if we could get together with Bill one night. So he does all the pre-arranged work. He finds a restaurant which is perfectly located right next to the hotel with a perfect private room. Mm-hmm. So there's no intrusion on anybody, okay? So
not the champagne room.
Stacy, I thought, picked a perfect place. Happened to be a Mexican restaurant. Long story short, he runs into Scott Pioli in the morning. And in doing, you know, he says, well, gee, Scott, we're going to go to Pedro's right next door. If you'd like to join us, blah, blah, blah. And Scott looks at him and said, wait a minute.
Is Pedro there?
You're taking Bill to a Mexican restaurant? Bill doesn't like Mexican food. And sure enough, Bill did not order anything at the
poor Stacy.
Nothing? But he spent quite a bit.
Of he was probably, off
what,
the platter.
Did you say about an hour and a half?
Yeah,
hour and
I thought it was good. He let his hair down a little bit.
Yeah.
He told some stories.
Told some stories about Cleveland, the Giants. The funny story that he told about the last days of the dog pound at the dog, whatever it's called at Cleveland there, you know, in the last days of the old municipal stadium, and this big guy who's known as Hound Dog, was it Hound Dog?
No, Big
Hound
Dog. John Big Dog Thompson.
John Big Dog Thompson. I guess he's famous. He's one of those guys that's
in
the end zone
with
Georgetown.
Not that one,
though. So he get out of the stands
like
at the end
pounds.
Of the last game, you know, Bill's last game as Cleveland's coach. He comes up to Bill, shakes his hand, and thanks him for everything, and then it was down on his...
just down on his stomach.
On his stomach.
Pounding the ground.
Pounding the fist and crying because the Browns were leaving. That was kind of...
He had some good stories. Got some good Giants talk in there. That was kind of fun.
But can you imagine, grown men, you know, they're fans to the point where they're crying
on
the field, like a temper tantrum?
It's a little bit much.
It was something different, something fun to do.
How was the food?
Okay.
I was one of the idiots in the stands yelling for Flutie.
They had a good little appetizer platter with those.
One thing that he said that I thought was funny.
Sort of things like, oh, no, taquitos, they call them.
Taquitos.
We were talking about.
Little tacos.
Long snappers and Lonnie Paxton and, you know, how he's been around so long. Remember the year that he came in 2000, Fred? There was one other guy that was also a long snapper, and that's all they did. It was Lonnie Paxton and this other guy that were just long snappers. And Bill said that was a really, really hard choice. We were going to keep one of them, obviously. And it came right down to the last day, and we didn't know, and we went with Lonnie, but the other guy was right there with him. We thought, and he spent the rest of the time, you know, cursing that he couldn't remember that guy's name. And when they left, he said we had already cut Bartram. Actually, he mentioned him, and it was going to be one of these two guys, and it was Thad Sheldon was the guy's name. But as soon as they left, Burge emailed us all.
Yeah,
like maybe 20 minutes after they were gone, said. Thad Sheldon, RFA, Iowa.
That was one of those things that would bother you all night until you get the answer.
And obviously it bothered Bill because he couldn't think of it. And
he was sitting there every once in a while. He'd be like, what was that guy's name?
Yeah, only not quite a lot more colorful language.
I never said that.
So you guys are responsible. You made him think of that name, and he wasn't preparing for the big plays in San Diego. And it all unfolded as follows.
The loss was our fault.
Yep. Now we're down to the bottom.
You guys get us a little quiet over here.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Phil from Nova Scotia writes in, tonight I voted in the Canadian federal election. As I was standing in the election booth, I was struck with the thought that I know way more about the Patriots than I do the candidates in the election, which leads me to think, what if head coaches were voted on by fans? I wonder what quality of coaching we would get in the NFL.
Poor.
Would a pre-2001 Bill Belichick get enough votes to win a job?
Nope.
Would we base our votes on personality, qualifications, party line? Can you imagine how heated sports talk radio would get during an election? Fans would probably break down every play the coach was ever involved in.
Speaking of Barack
I think
Obama.
Most of us would put more time into thinking who should be our coach than who should be our prime minister or president, and that is really quite sad. I guess maybe we just have lower expectations when it comes to our politicians.
Starting in
it
January,
would be like every
we're going to lay
all-star
more
game that is voted on, which is a popularity contest.
Bill would not have been this coach or this team. No
probably
one would have voted for him.
Well,
no
a lot of people criticize Kraft for giving up a first-round pick to
He would have had no chance to
never
be
heard that
coach.
One?
No.
Of course.
Slightly taken
the guy
out of
that would get the job would be like Doug Flutie, and they would stink.
I mean, a certain nighttime sports Michael talk Bishop. Radio host called him insane.
I was lucky enough to be on the air at the time.
It was a great night of sports talk radio. I was laughing out loud.
When you see him, you tell him Ted Sarandon says hello.
That's right. It was Ted.
And now he's in politics, right?
Tried to be.
Oh, he lost.
Yes.
I don't get what's going on in your brain.
Wow. All right.
That's not good.
I really had to talk him off the ledge that night.
That was funny. Borges was on that night.
Even Borges was like,
Ted,
this is the guy that Robert wanted. What's he supposed to do?
I'm a human being.
And then the talk got to, I think, the Sports Museum or somebody had just come out with their 50 greatest New England athletes of all time or 100. And one of them was a skier. And Ted was like talking about the skier. I don't even know who. And Borges like, Ted, you're about to call him insane, you know, because he was calling Belichick insane all night.
You remember the whole show.
It was very funny.
He's right, though.
They're killing everybody with these turnovers, making me crazy.
Does he still do the BC? No.
Does he do anything?
Does he? He might still do
so
BC
far,
basketball. Yeah.
Is that his full-time gig?
I don't know.
How does it pay the bills?
Let's see. This was an emailer from yesterday who's emailing again. It's LT from Australia.
Yeah.
And he
very good email yesterday.
Love the show yesterday, as is the case every day. Living in Australia means I don't get to watch as much American football as you guys. We get American Rules Football, which is an awesome game. You guys should check it out. And hence, I was wondering if you could clear up
Aussie
a few technical things for me.
I think American rules football.
You mean
is our
Aussie
game,
rules right? football?
Australian rules.
He said
football.
Australian rules.
You said American.
American.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. He meant Aussie.
he meant or you meant?
So his question is, the Pats run a base 3-4 defense, which means that the main pass rushers in the defense are the outside linebackers, yes or no?
Yes.
Is it too much to expect that Warren and Seymour as defensive ends to get pressure on the quarterback at the same time as the outside backers?
No.
Also, I was wondering, as most teams run a 4-3, the rush is from the front four. As you guys are smarter than me and also watch a lot more NFL than me, who are the four pass rushers that the Pats normally send at the quarterback in the base defense, and how well has that worked in the past?
Well, it's the three linemen four. And either Thomas or Vrabel
on the edge.
But you don't send them all the time, right? You don't.
Well, they're rushing. No. If they're on the field, they're rushing.
Four of them are going to go, but like Andy said, it could be Vrabel one play and Thomas the next.
That's the question.
You know, some plays it's both.
That's the idea of the defense. So the offensive line isn't sliding in either direction to pick up Vrabel or Thomas every play. Yeah. They don't know which one's coming.
That's why they don't like the idea of like just having this one pass rush specialist.
Right.
You know, is coming every play because you want that guy to be able to drop in coverage too. Rosie Colvin,
right,
you know,
right.
for example.
How highly do you guys rate Sean Crable, and why do we not see the third outside backer in the rotation as much as we see Jarvis Green? I think that if AD and Mike Vrabel didn't take as many snaps and Pierre Woods was to replace them in the rotation, that would mean that AD and Vrabel would be fresher and more energetic and more able to pass rush.
They haven't played a ton.
I think you do see
They've
those
been
guys.
Doing a lot of sub-package work where one of those two guys isn't on the field or Thomas has moved inside playing inside linebacker.
Which surprises me.
Thomas plays almost every snap, but he moves around.
Right.
Vrabel has not played a lot of snaps.
No.
I thought for sure this year we were going to see the two of them rushing, especially coming off.
Yeah.
Vrabel coming off his best season ever numbers-wise.
Right. And Thomas starting the whole year outside. Yeah, all this stuff.
I'm really surprised at how this is
But to get back to Crable.
I agree with you, Eric.
He's clearly fourth. Wait, one, two, three. Yeah, fourth on the outside linebacker depth chart and has zero to minimal special teams value. So
that's
he's not going to be active.
That's why he's not dressed.
And
he's a rookie.
I didn't see anything in the preseason that told me, well, you could get him on the field rushing the passer. I mean, I thought he was okay.
He had a great preseason in terms of making plays, but not.
He didn't look like Jason Taylor Jr. where you say, you know what, we got to find 10 snaps a game, 5 snaps a game to get him on the field.
I agree with you.
He does have a Jason Taylor type build, though, where like he could be.
He's a little heavier. Taylor's pretty lean.
Very lean.
I think Taylor's much more well-proportioned.
What?
Than Crable.
Oh, I actually think the opposite. I think Crable's build is more.
Taylor's only like 240 pounds.
Whatever he's listed at, I'll take 10% off that weight, too.
Crable's top heavy, though.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I absolutely agree
Twiggy?
With that.
So Twiggy Crable?
But he's a lot bigger.
Then how can he be more proportioned?
I agree with Andy.
Top heavy.
Well, Taylor's a twig from head to toe.
Yeah, but he's well proportioned. It's well proportioned.
That's proportioned.
I guess he's proportioned like Eric, then.
That's like saying you're consistent. Well, if you're consistently bad, you're still consistent.
He's proportioned, but not well proportioned for an outside linebacker.
Thank you.
LT also says, yesterday, I didn't mean to offend Mike. What I meant is that he doesn't have a big Patriot heart, but from all accounts, a big Giants heart.
I'm not sure.
I don't have much
heart.
Of a heart anyway. So
no,
that's
he's,
your.
He's heartless.
Okay.
He's a tin man.
He's heartless.
Or I'm a womanizer, according to you.
JT is listed as 255. No, no way.
We're not supposed to talk about that on the show.
Anthony from Naples is on.
Ixnay on the womanizer, eh?
Anthony from Naples, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
I called up just in time. You guys are talking about the defense, but
we're just lucky you didn't hang up today. Usually, you hang up on us while you're waiting.
Oh, I was on hold for like 10 minutes. I thought you guys forgot about me, so I'm like, all right.
10 minutes.
It's not us who forgets about you, Anthony.
Well,
Gary.
That's what I thought.
It's the hostess with the lessness.
Not that I'm criticizing you. I understand you're talking. You get involved with certain things. I was like, all right, I got forgotten. No big deal.
No big deal. You're back today. So what do you got today?
Well, I just want to make clear that I have no formal training.
well played.
I have no formal artistic training.
You sound so pained when you say that, Eric.
That's what the artist is trying to convey, is the tortured soul.
The pain.
Exactly. Thank
you,
Paul.
Artist.
Well done.
Yeah. It's a bunch of crap, but that's what you're trying to portray.
It is no, it's not.
But, it kind of worked out, guys, because I actually was calling to say, but Fred, you made a good point of it. Obviously, I didn't listen to it live. But, Matt Castle is the last person you want to criticize. That defense was horrific.
Yep.
You know, and what I was noticing on Monday night, watching the Browns play, and I was like, holy crap, it just hit me. I'm like, when's the last time you saw the Patriots, like, stand up? And not really give you a set formation and try to trick you as in where the pressure's coming from.
San Francisco.
What's that?
San Francisco, they did that a lot, actually. They had,
did they?
They had
I
very,
didn't notice it.
They had, they had a ton of pressure, first of all. And
they also used a variety of different
one, two, three, four guys down at different times. I thought they used a lot of different looks in that game.
I hear where you're coming from, though, Anthony. It's not consistent every game. You're not seeing that. Not like in 03 or 04, when that's what it always looked like. They were having guys standing up, moving around. You really didn't know back then where it was coming from, and that was when their defense was dominant. But
well, it's also when they were playing from the lead every game.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, those are the games that we talked about, be like 9-3, and game was over.
Right.
They always had the lead, and they were always dictating the way the game was played.
I think a lot of that, though, is who the quarterback is. I think with JT Sullivan, they wanted to confuse him with Rivers. I don't think they think they could confuse them, so they went with a more straight-up defense.
But is part of it what Zoe talked about, the fact that you don't have a cover corner? You don't have one side of the field you're comfortable with, maybe sending the safety from that side, sending a guy on a blitz,
look, I think
being more exotic?
I think it comes down to, we talked about it today and yesterday, have they overrated a little bit of their cover skills? And maybe now, after this game, they say, all right, we can't do that
but
anymore.
But maybe they've overrated their front.
Maybe they have to go to a Tampa, too.
The front four. Maybe they've overrated the guys saying, you know, Seymour can collapse the pocket. Well, collapse it then.
At what point do we say that?
Right. Yeah. No,
you guys are absolutely right. I feel like there's a lack of effort. Just, you know, whenever they're just lining up and trying to make pressure on the quarterback, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. You
know? It's been a problem. They haven't gotten a lot of pressure.
Okay.
What's that?
No, I said I think it's been a problem. They haven't had a lot of pressure. I think that San Francisco was an exception in this season.
Right. And it was also the time when they seemed to most try to get pressure. They got some. So maybe they need to try more often, be a little more. I know everybody ripped them last year for blitzing on the goal line, cost you a Super Bowl, all that. But maybe you got to do it more often. Maybe you just don't have the horses to line up and play football.
Yeah, and I think it was pretty sad that they were picking on Delta O'Neal, and Hobbs looked great.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know about great, but
he was the weaker link.
Yeah, we found out last all the criticism last year of talking about Ellis Hobbs. Well, you know he's now your best corner on your team, and the other guy isn't as good, and they're just not.
And that's not good. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, that's not.
No,
that's
you're right because he got beat a few times too. I mean, that's. It's not wasn't pretty Sunday night.
Wasn't their night.
I just have to say, Paul, you were right. You know, the defense, that was the biggest question mark, and it's starting to show.
But even I didn't think it was going to be like this.
It was going to be that bad?
I didn't think it was going to be 38 points,
points
in two out of three games.
Yeah,
And the good performance was going to be 21 points with big plays.
Against JT O'Sullivan.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think it would be like this.
Yeah.
I thought the offense masked a lot of deficiencies, but... I don't know. I thought it was going to be like this either.
Yeah.
That's why they won't have you on the big show anymore, Paul, because they know you're right.
Well, they got Zoe now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm out.
And can I give a word of advice since Eric's there?
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Yeah, go ahead.
Eric, why don't you start small and try to sell the paintings or the drawings or the copies, whatever you want
to
call it.
Well, that's what we've been trying to tell them.
What's that?
I have no
He says artists
training.
Artists don't compromise. They don't
compromise. Don't compromise.
They don't compromise.
You have to build up a following.
That's what I thought.
You guys shut up?
It's like this show.
I think
I give it away now. Eventually, this is going to be a subscription show.
Yeah, let me talk to the crafts. We'll get you a stool and an easel. You can do caricatures at Patriot Place. People walk by, you know, they pay you $10. You do the caricature.
I'm not doing it with
you. Better than what you usually do for $10.
Thanks a lot, Anthony. It was nice talking to you.
Lubricants. See you, Anthony.
All right, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony.
You should have seen Eric's face when he was saying that.
He was just disgusted. Just disgusted.
Awesome. That tortured artist's soul again.
There's a lot of torture in that soul.
Yes, there is.
Louis writes
you contribute to it.
I haven't said anything for months.
You in general.
For months.
When other people bring it up, sometimes I kind of pile on.
Louis writes in. He says, like I know you were at San Francisco, but since it's close enough to Hollywood, here's a rundown of your possible roles.
Oh.
Mike, is anyone on Too Fast, Too Furious? Andy is the Juggernaut from X-Men 3.
Whoa. Oh, you didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
Some cartoonish character.
I don't know which one that Juggernaut is.
Is that a good guy or a bad guy?
He's all good.
The big giant rock guy.
That's a
Juggernaut, I think.
No, that's the thing. That's Fantastic Four.
I'm on the wrong movie.
X-Men 3.
I don't even know. Yeah. I'm not a nerd.
Eric is...
When he thought he knew what it was, he was not a nerd.
This ought to be good, right, Fred?
Eric is Tom Hanks in Philadelphia.
That's not funny. Why are you laughing?
That's very funny.
Paul is a life version of Homer Simpson.
That's very funny, too.
And Fred is a life version of the Stave Puff Marshmallow.
I'd have gone Barney.
See, we can laugh at ourselves, Eric.
Yes.
Sure. We are all concerned with
We
are all concerned with our pass defense, and one thing the Broncos can do is pass the football, and one thing Mike Shanahan can do is beat Bill Belichick. One, what adjustments should we expect from our defense to create more pressure on the quarterback? And two, how do you prepare for the option play Denver uses to run? You know, when Cutler starts scrambling and does a lateral to a running back.
I think one of the adjustments you make is, like we said about the San Francisco game, try to get pressure on the quarterback. They didn't look like they've been doing that.
But you got to get controlled pressure.
Yeah.
This secondary, if the pressure forces him out and then he's got that extra half second, he's wrong, well, then the big plays are just going to keep coming.
Not setting six on every play.
Right. Remember when O'Sullivan did a good job of getting away from the pressure but then couldn't throw the ball?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was a couple of times. He
had some receivers drop the ball, too.
I think Cutler can make some of those throws outside the pocket. So there's a big difference there.
Yep. All right.
Fred, why don't you get this thing? The Sport Elec
Oh no,
that's
crap.
Trone.
That's
crap. It's electro.
Even I won't fall for that.
I feel sorry for anybody who bought that.
Any of that vibration stuff, that's not.
No, I think this is it. Sends an electric shock into your muscles to force them to contract.
How about you just do sit-ups?
Okay. I just had a mental image of Fred doing sit-ups.
I was really trying to avoid that. Okay, we're in a belt.
Andy,
that
you really shouldn't talk
about your ass.
Because as bad as I am, you lost to this guy. You know, so
in three sports.
Two sports and three games.
No.
Basketball,
horse is not
tennis,
a sport.
Eric, you're next.
I'll take you on any day, Fred.
And what?
Well, not maybe not in tennis.
Mark J.
What are you going to take me on?
I'll beat you in basketball.
Look at him.
What are you, nuts?
This isn't a Fred.
You got nothing on me, Fred.
I want a little action on this game.
He's all giddy.
I am very glad I was able to make Fred feel so good about himself last weekend.
Thank you, Andy. I really needed
Mike,
that.
Mike, I'm going to do the play-by-play. I'm always open for a color guy. So
okay,
if you want a little action.
NBC Sports.
See, with you.
We'll have B-Lo come down and run
you,
the camera.
I'm a game plan one-on-one
sure.
basketball.
Yeah.
For him, I knew I couldn't out-muscle him underneath, so I had to shoot over him.
Right.
With
you're
you,
going to try to muscle me?
I'm just going
to
kick your ass.
Okay.
He's just going to back you down to the post.
Eric will like that.
They're killing everybody with these turnovers, making me crazy.
On the phone is Salt from Orlando. Salt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Eric's going to challenge you in basketball, Fred?
Fred just challenged me.
Well, you're making fun of me.
Take a video of it. I'd love to see Eric try to dribble on basketball.
Buddy, I'll take you on any time, too.
Okay.
Unless you're about 6'10", then I won't.
Yeah. Eric learned basketball in the mean streets of North Providence, you know, from Ernie D. Gregorio.
Right.
Hey, I got a quick question.
Celtics,
I'm thinking about it. Do you think the Patriots missed Dante Stallworth?
Do they miss Dante Stallworth?
I think they missed the guy who's the program.
I don't know.
You want to know who I think misses Dante Stallworth? Jabbar Gaffney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's done nothing.
I just don't think
Moss misses. Probably Moss misses him. Stallworth was a legitimate guy. You had to put someone on Stallworth to cover him down the field. You know, with Welker, you can have like a linebacker do a zone and. You know Welker's going to get it at the line of scrimmage. He's not going downfield, you know?
Well, that's why I think they need to use Gaffney in that role. Send him long a few times, you know?
Well, I also think the difference is Stallworth, if you hit Gaffney, I kind of feel like he's Welker. If you hit him, he'll catch the ball and he's going to go down.
Oh, sure.
Dante Stallworth, when he had the ball in his hands, it was sort of like Ellis Hobbs. He breaks a lot of tackles.
Yeah, he was very good after the catch.
I do think they've missed him, but I think the bigger part of that is Brady's not here.
Right.
I mean, how much would they have missed him if Brady was here throwing the ball to Moss and Welker and Gaffney?
Not all that much.
Right.
I thought, you know, at the beginning of the season, maybe they wouldn't have missed him because Chad Jackson, but Chad Jackson obviously did nothing.
That's true. We were all thinking maybe he could be the number two.
I thought he would be
the number nothing.
I thought he'd be the starter. I did.
Yeah. I thought he had a good season. I thought, you know, obviously they weren't going to give him the money Cleveland gave him, so there was no question.
I thought he had a good season.
I thought he was a little bit underrated in his role here. Yeah. He put up good numbers for being the third receiver on a team where two guys made history.
Yeah.
Right.
And he made some big plays when he caught the ball.
And I think he probably misses this place because it was the only place he was ever healthy. He missed the first four games in Cleveland this year.
Yeah.
He's had injuries pretty much everywhere he's gone.
Did he catch any passes
here.
The other night? I saw he played.
Yeah, he caught one or two when I saw. He was picking a lot of fights. Very chippy.
Everybody caught passes in that game.
All right. Salt from Orlando.
Especially, all right, take it easy, guys.
Okay.
Del Pepo, we said hi.
And the Bronco the Browns defense.
He disappointed me there.
It's just one of
you always
games.
Say, hey, Salt, yeah, where's
well,
Pep?
Well, it's been a long time, and they might have broken
maybe
up.
Maybe we don't know what Pep
you
is.
Know, I don't know what Pep is doing.
Then why don't you ask?
Or who?
Well, I don't want to maybe bring up a sore subject.
So why not? Just talk
it's
about
like
it
if I would bring up your girl from Delaware all the time. I've stopped doing that because I know it's over.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Are you sure it's over?
I think it is.
Shut up, both of you.
Oh,
just move on.
What? Why do you have to get so edgy?
That's part of the show, Fred.
You're getting edgy?
That's Eric's shtick.
Oh, that's
you have a very
okay.
ugly side right. to you all of a sudden. I didn't notice this in California when I enjoyed my time with the fellas. I don't know.
We should also talk about Paul.
What did
in
I do?
California. Saturday night.
Oh, my God.
What did I do?
You bombed off your ass.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Have another.
All right. Whatever.
You almost went broke in that bar. 5:15 a beer.
Well, when I came down Sunday for lunch, they said, is that other guy coming? Because he was a good customer.
Gary, 9 beers I drank.
He wasn't drunk.
In about an hour.
Thank you. No, he was drunk.
He started yelling.
Yeah.
We all
left it.
I always yell.
We were just happy that Capella wasn't there, because if he was there, the two of you.
He was there for a while.
But I always yell when we're talking about sports.
I know.
Maybe you've never heard this show before. Am I drunk on the show, too?
Maybe you just drink
it. I don't know. Maybe you put a little something in those Diet Pepsis.
Science.
That's
a constant for me. Science.
Maki in Ireland. Maki is his name. Moki, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, still reeling
over. He says it with confidence. Maki. I mean, Moki. I don't know.
Still reeling over the terrible game Monday night. Stayed up to watch it, unfortunately. And yes, Andy, the game did drive me to drink, though I doubt it was as drunk as Paul was Saturday night, as you described.
And then the drink drove you home. Hey.
While I don't advocate replacing Castle with O'Connell as the starter, I was hoping to get your thoughts on the possibility of any of O'Connell coming in for red zone offense instead of Castle. This was implemented with some success by the Cardinals last year, though for different reasons. My reasoning would be that O'Connell, while obviously having less NFL experience, would offer the threat of tucking and running it instead of Castle's much less successful move of tucking and lying down, as it does once the pocket collapses.
He does do that. I don't think that's any chance.
No, I just think with experience comes the ability to read plays quickly in the red zone, and O'Connell doesn't have that.
Which
so
is
who's
the
to say
hardest
that?
Place to read them.
Exactly.
Everything's tighter and faster.
So who's to say he's not going to tuck it too early and run into his own lineman and cause chaos? I don't see any reason to do that.
Plus, if you bring him in, and then defense is going to assume that he's going to run the ball and
not throw
it. Because
so make him a one-trick pony
and I also
he's too
think
predictable
the
and
second
blow up
you
every play.
Start bringing O'Connell in is the second you've decided it's not Matt Castle. Later.
Well, I was going to say it might be more realistic down the road if they continue to sort of be inconsistent that you work to get O'Connell some experience here and there. You know, maybe you try to get him a series. Well, it's almost like in college, the way you try to groom that next guy.
Right.
Maybe they
haven't reached that point.
No. They're
3-2, and as one of our emailers said, best I can see is 3-2 moving forward in the next five or whatever. Well, then you're 6-4, and you're still competing for probably a division and a playoff spot. And until the season is kind of rolling out of control in the wrong direction.
Right, it's all about that loss column.
But I agree with Bill Lovey Smith Belichick.
We did.
Matt Castle's my quarterback.
We did kind of think that maybe at the end of the Charger game,
I thought
O'Connell might have
had
a chance.
Scrap time is different than putting him in when it matters.
I'm not talking about mop up. I'm talking about second quarter, you know, 10-7 game. You throw O'Connell out there for a series.
Then Jarvis Green Ellis wants to catch balls from Kevin O'Connell at 30-0 or whatever. That's fine.
Natalie from Pennsylvania, I wanted to congratulate you guys on an excellent Tuesday show. It was nice to hear experts presenting a balanced analysis of opinion.
Who'd you have on?
That didn't trash.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Fred was on the show yesterday, was he not?
We all were.
Who filled in?
I wasn't. It was just
correct me if I'm wrong, but Eric and Paul weren't.
Me and Eric weren't.
Presenting a balanced analysis and opinion that didn't trash the easy target Castle and spread the criticism out where it belonged without losing hope that we can turn things around. I have a question about injuries. I figure Maroney's problem is mainly a fear of injury, but my question isn't specifically about him. I hear you guys, especially Andy, talking about how he can't stay healthy, as if any player can help it. I mean, if you slam hundreds of pounds of something over and over, it's likely to break at some point.
Luckily, he danced out of bounds and didn't get slammed.
But you lump injury-prone into the same category as lack of ability, and that doesn't seem fair. Yeah, maybe I'm being girly. There's no room for compassion in football, blah, blah, blah. But I'm interested in hearing elaboration on your viewpoint.
When I lumped that together, that was last week, I think, Fred, when I said, either way, it's a frustration. Either he's not as good as we thought, he's not living up to potential, or these issues are he's hurt again, and there's still frustration that he can never stay healthy. The bottom line is the guy you drafted to be your lead back and carry the ball 200-plus times can't do it for some reason, and that's why I'm lumping it all together. I don't really care what the reason is. It's sort of like Randall Gay. Yeah, he got hurt a lot. I think he's hurt again in New Orleans. He had one decent year, but at some point you say, I can't count on him, so despite what I think he could be if he could play, he can't play.
Yeah, and move forward. I also think, and I know that I wasn't one of the experts on the show yesterday, but
it's true.
I agree with Andy in that. That is part, about it. I was just making a joke. I think it is part of ability, though, Fred. Is the ability to stay healthy. And listen, if you break a leg or, you know, you separate a shoulder or something like that, those are injuries that you can't play. I mean, you know, I have a broken arm or a broken leg. Okay, you can't play. But Maroney doesn't deal with those. It's leg injuries. It's a shoulder problem, you know, that keeps him out here and there. And this is not stuff that we're making up. The coaches are frustrated with it. You can see it in their comments and when they're talking about the situation. We know from the past that there have been some questions as to whether or not the whole hurt or injured thing. Can he not play? Or is it I think that the best players can get out there and play close enough to their ability even when they're not 100%.
Remember when Emmett Thomas played with a separated shoulder?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Emmett Smith.
Emmett Smith.
I know. Yeah. The worst part about it is I knew who he was talking about.
But,
but I just think that that's part of the whole equation. I think a lot – no one's 100% in this league, especially not running backs once the season starts. But the good ones, you know, are able to play at a level close enough to their best, even when they're not 100%. And Maroney not only doesn't play at his best, he doesn't play at all. He's not. He doesn't suit up.
All right. That's Natalie in Pennsylvania.
She's a newbie.
Brian in Baltimore. Hey, guys, I saw that Matt Castle's cap number this year is $540,000, while Richard Seymour's is $6.8 million. Adalys Thomas is $5.4 million, Ty Warren is $4.5 million, and Mike Vrabel is $4.1 million. To me, that's a lot of cash to pay a defense not to do their job. I know that sounds harsh, but I just agree that fans should focus more on what our highly paid defense is doing rather than Castle's shortcoming as a first-year starter. I'm sure we all agree that Castle could have definitely played better Sunday, but the blame for this game, the more I thought about it, has gradually changed from Castle to solely on the defense's shoulders. Just look back at San Diego's touchdowns. They all came on four-play drives. That's not getting it done. With that said, I'm still picking a big win on Monday night. I mean, if the Browns can rape and pillage the Giants on Monday night, there's no reason we can't take it to the Broncos at home.
Flay them, even.
We'll flay them. Now, do you know the word flay, Eric?
What? I'm sorry?
The word flay. You familiar
I've
with
heard
that
it.
Word?
Yeah.
What's that now?
Okay.
Of course he has.
All right. Just
do you,
what
do you
does
know?
It mean?
Can you use it?
No.
Use it in a sentence.
I've heard it used.
So you don't really know.
I don't know what
flay
means.
I've heard it used, Fred. I don't. I,
in what context?
The one you just like
a
the
fish?
One you just used. No, to flay, to you know, like to get the best of, or to burn, or something like that. That's how that's the context that I've
well,
heard it
yeah,
used
the burn
in before.
Part. That, okay. That's accurate.
All right,
never heard it in my life.
You never heard flay?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
I have. It was on the show yesterday.
Okay.
How was it on the show yesterday?
An emailer wanted
yeah.
to flay somebody.
It means to de-skin them.
It's funny.
Or skin them.
Filet and flay are kind of close.
Kind of close.
Yeah. Matt from London, first-time emailer of the show, but with all the talk about the defense not playing to its potential, Welker's lack of production is being overlooked. Last season he had 8 touchdowns, but he has yet to score this year. With Castle looking to dump off passes quickly, this is somewhat surprising. Do you feel that everyone is looking at Randy Moss's drop-off this year, missing the point that Welker caught over 100 passes for 1,000 yards plus last year and was every bit as key to the offense?
He's every bit as key to the offense this year.
Well,
he's just
an,
not
this is offensive drop off.
He's,
yeah,
he's not going to have the yards or the touchdowns, but he's going to have the same
right.
amount of catches.
But they are
he's
throwing
led
him
the
ball.
Team in catches every single game.
Yeah, they're just not in the red zone enough to throw the ball to him there where he can score.
Right.
But he's getting the ball thrown.
And he's being swarmed.
And right. we have to be fair. We said he rode Randy Moss's coattails to success. Well, he's riding his coattails to not as much success because Moss isn't as good.
Any thoughts apart from the obvious to why Welker has failed to get into the end zone this year thus far? And do you think he can put up similar numbers to his 07 totals next year, assuming Brady comes back fully healthy?
Unless
yes,
he's carrying the ball himself, he's not going to get into the red zone.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
And then he uses a bad word.
Just randomly throws
for
it out
what?
There.
Just closes with it?
He says...
Salutation.
What he says, great show, love all the banter. One additional point, what's with this Miller Lite? How can anyone get drunk on that? Is Andy some kind of, I can't say it,
yes.
he must have felt home in San Francisco.
Oh,
I wasn't there,
P carrot ampersand dollar sign.
Sorry, Andy, but Miller Lite, seriously?
I assume they're trying to make fun of me.
Yeah, you're the one okay. who drank the Miller Lite.
I well,
Andy
Miller
does
Lite
too.
I like Miller Lite.
No, I like Miller Lite.
I have their pinkies
myself.
Out when they pick the bottle up. Yeah, you.
But I don't.
We're on radio, Fred. No one knows what that means.
I don't think anybody. Well, I mean, I guess you guys already painted this picture yesterday when I wasn't here. Huh?
What?
I don't think anybody was drunk in the trip that we were on.
Oh. I disagree.
Maybe I just drank to get drunk.
Sorry.
I think you were slurring your speech a little bit.
All right.
And you were very happy.
Might have had
laughing,
a stroke. He's a
having
old.
A good time.
I know that you haven't seen a lot of happiness based on the fact that you're the most miserable human on the planet.
Yes.
But I wasn't any happier Saturday
no,
than I
Paul,
was the rest
you
of the
do
trip.
Get
Paul,
very happy. You're a happy drunk.
Thank
Paul, you,
you
were
but
drunk.
Are. But it has nothing to do with being drunk.
Paul, you were loaded.
Okay.
Let's just face reality.
Fred. Okay.
Andy and I, Eric,
what do you,
we
what
all
do you
agree.
Want me to tell you?
Just admit it.
I can't.
Ah, somebody's at the door.
Thankfully.
Hi, I'm Tara, Pizza with a Smile Bertrand. It's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. Paul, save some for everyone else. Jeez.
That's really wrong.
We have to thank Tara again because she let us get our pizza before she brought it down
sure
to the masses.
She's the best.
Tremendous, and did it with a smile.
Imagine that happening.
Gave me a ride over.
Pizza with a smile, you know it?
So, Gary, I'm reading both of these, I assume, since they have similar definitions. These two words related to, obviously, what we were discussing earlier, actually four words, have similar definitions. You'll have to look them up yourself, but it's flay sauce. That's flay sauce. And tennis helmet. That's tennis helmet. And they would both be used to describe Eric.
Oh, see now.
Well, I guess you just gave it away, didn't you?
And what is FCUK?
It's a store.
Is it really? Like a...
Yeah, a clothing.
French Connection UK.
Really?
It really is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you say it? Or you just say the letters? You just say the letters?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's...
They used to sponsor Lennox Lewis.
I wouldn't try, Andy.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't mess with it.
They did. Speaking of the UK, James from England's checking in. I'm back in rainy old England and already planning my next trip to the States. I want to extend my thanks to all of you for making me and my friends welcome on my visit, and a special thanks to Paul and Andy for the tour. It was great to see you guys during the show, and even better to see Christina Acra come in to grab some Qdoba. After the show, I went over to the hall, and I have to say, Brian, or rather Fred, you did a great job. Every Pat Shan fan should check it out. Little gas there. But I don't see how Lori got to the hall. I even got to meet Brian in there as he explained that it's not quite finished and soon there will be lifts to get wheelchairs into certain places you can't get right now. He is always full of excuses.
Baranski.
Wait, Lori's in the hall?
Yeah, there's baby pictures. One of her baby pictures. Is
why?
She's a cheerleader.
No, she isn't.
She was.
So
former
there's a lot of players in there that aren't players anymore either.
So there's a
wait, why is there a baby picture of Lori?
Maybe you should get your ass in there and look at it, and then you'll find out, instead of just criticizing
it. Didn't I tell you at the beginning of the show not to mess around with him today?
As employees, Fred, can we go in there anytime?
Yeah, with your badge.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And 10 bucks.
Armani Exchange is not a gay shop, by the way. But just show your badge.
No, just walk in.
Armani Exchange is not a gay shop. I wouldn't put it in there with...
FCUK?
Anyway, James continues, I had a blast at the game with the greats. I had the VIP ticket, so I got a good opportunity to see and talk to all the players and cheerleaders. I even met Lori there, who stood me up later in the night.
He was just like, here, hold this. And I said, okay.
Anyway, thanks again to all of you, and I hope that I can get to come see you all again when I come back out in the summer.
Wait, did he ask her on a date or something? And she said, yeah, meet me here, and didn't show up?
I don't know.
Meet me in the alley.
I want more details on that. I was kind of just curious to just throw that out there and just not follow up on that.
I was with you guys out in San Francisco for that game.
You know, James wants to move here.
Is that right?
Yeah, he very down on, where is he, Kent, was it, that he was from?
I think that's right.
Very down on it, wants to move here.
But it's apparently very expensive over there.
The paperwork to get over here is not easy for him.
Oh.
So look for him next time he's here to go all, like, Cuban baseball player and just disappear into the woods of Foxborough.
All right. Keith in Central Florida writes in, I agree, where are all the other 44 players on game day? No help from the D-line, O-line, linebackers, and especially the secondary. Castle does deserve some blame. He doesn't see open receivers and stares them down too long and doesn't scan the whole field. Also, am I the only one disappointed in Pioli and Belichick for the poor drafts? Let's admit it. This team hasn't had a good draft of college players in a while outside of a couple of first-round picks. Who have they drafted that made you say, wow, outside of Mayo and Mankins the last couple of years? I don't believe this team is so deep that the players drafted can't make the team, as was thought by the homers. They flat out haven't done a good job with this. This year, if the Pats go 8-8, this will put them in better position to get better players. Let's hope they don't waste the picks on bum receivers, tight ends, and running backs. That's Keith in Central Florida. Wow.
Breaking news from Gary.
What do we got?
A transaction?
Wide receiver Maurice Price added to the practice squad.
Good for him.
Wow.
Woohoo! All our problems are solved. Look out, Broncos.
Well, I guess that, in a way that is kind of good news because there's no announcement of an IR move. So.
Right. Well, last year's draft was not that good. I mean, no one made the
team. For this team or in general?
For this team.
Because we did say,
in general,
they clearly didn't like the draft. It was like they were just kind of going through the motions, taking guys. But, I mean, were players available that this team didn't take that are good NFL players?
I don't know. We have to do some research.
Do some research.
Because that was a terrible draft, right? I mean, you got nothing out of it.
Yeah.
You got a backup safety at this point.
Yeah. Well, when guys don't even make the team.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Right. You got that, literally nothing out of it. You got a backup safety.
Yeah. Well, you could say that you got Randy Moss out of it.
Well, if you're Bill, you could.
I was going to say, if you're Bill. I think, I could also say that they did a good job on all the underneath stuff the other night.
There's some truth to that.
No, but, Bill said it doesn't matter. You still had selections you made, and none of them were any good.
I think they probably would have taken back the Justin Rogers cut, because I think he...
Because there are people that are playing.
That's what I'm saying.
I saw Garrett Mills is still playing for the Vikings. That's from 2 years ago, right?
Three years ago.
That was last year. Oh. They cut him last year, and they signed that.
Yeah, but he wasn't in last year's class.
When was he drafted?
He was in the draft class you're talking about.
Because I look around, and I still see names pop up every once in a while that are playing elsewhere.
Justin Rogers, I think, was decent. I don't think they...
Did he play? Is he playing now? Is he still on the Cowboys?
He was on the Cowboys last year.
Yeah, I mean, he played 16 games last year. So.
But I really don't know that he would have made a huge difference here last
year. No, but, you know...
11 special teams tackles.
But I do think some of the drafts have not been as deep as they were early on. They had earlier, you know, you're still looking for Dan Copen. I mean, a fifth round, sixth round. You know, I guess James Sanders would be the latest of the late picks that succeeded. And some people are kind of down on him that he's not really.
Well, the other thing, too, is there's so many veterans at all the spots on this team that there's not much room for every single draft pick to make it.
Well, that's the argument.
See, but if you draft a good player, then he makes it.
I don't mind that's my point. Is I don't mind so much like the guys that don't make it, but the guys that stay aren't making an impact. Because I understand that this has been, I mean, they were undefeated last year. That was the best NFL team that we've seen in our lifetimes. So there's not a lot of room for guys to step in. Like the Giants had three or four guys that came in and made major contributions. There wasn't a lot of room for that in New England. But the guys that are staying don't seem to, you know, Brandon Merriweather's the only one that is even playing. You know, 2 years back, there's not that many guys that even project 3 years from now to be the core of your team the way the 2001 guys were. And you know.
You would hope Maroney would have been one of those guys.
You know,
guys.
A fourth round pick in 2002 in Jarvis Green, you know, he's a core member of your defense.
Right. Sanders is the last guy that would fit that category. Now, you'd also hope that you'd hit on Terrence Wheatley. You know, if Delph O'Neill stinks, but he was your only option, then your second round pick, you'd think you'd hit and could play. I mean, there's guys that come in and play corner in this league as rookies and make an impact.
And I was very excited about some of those guys.
I was excited about Wheatley over the summer.
And they've done nothing.
I mean,
He had a good camp. It doesn't mean I'm giving up on him. I just think that he's not been much of a part of the defense as I thought he would be.
What I'm saying is if you're going to say, well, sometimes the rookies don't make it because it's a good veteran team, well, when it's a bad veteran team, then the rookies should make it.
Yeah, right. If O'Neill is doing this bad for three more weeks and Wheatley's not out there, then it says a lot about Wheatley.
I don't know if they can wait three more weeks to make it.
They probably wouldn't, but I'm saying if that were the case. Mm.
Plus, they've blown some. Chad Jackson was a flat-out blown pick.
Yep. Maroney might be.
Yemi from Texas wants to know why the Patriots PR director has a girl's name. Stacy.
Okay, Yemi.
Stacy. Yeah, right. Stacy can be Stacy Keach, the actor.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
You never heard of Stacy Keach?
Mike
before?
Hammer. Mickey Spillane's Mike Hammer.
Ever see the movie Up in Smoke with Cheech and Chong?
Yes.
he was so funny as the cop. Oh, my God, was that funny.
There was a Cheech and Chong movie on in
HD
the other night. You know that
weird smoke that joint.
881 or 882 was on?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was random.
They had a celebrity roast for Cheech and Chong.
Oh, that's right.
On Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Who was the roaster?
I don't know.
I know
Ellen DeGeneres was part of it.
Andy is definitely Juggernaut from whatever he was.
X-Files 3.
I'm a badass.
Has he also been on steroids since the fourth grade?
X-Men, not X-Files.
Oh.
He looks a lot like me.
I love when he smiles.
Mensa from the Bronx. I don't think things look good this year as previous years. As I've said many times, I think Bill is being stupidly stubborn by not exploring other avenues concerning our quarterback situation. I think Castle and Delta O'Neill should be dumped before this team goes down more than this. If Castle has been with this system this many years, and that is all he can produce, then I do not think he belongs as a starter. Are they going to explore the trading market? They should actually find somebody from the street to come back better than Delta O'Neill. Well,
he was from the street.
Well, the trading market, by the way, is
done.
Older. So that's no longer a possibility. But there are plenty of guys on the street.
I'm sure they'd all be great.
Just don't know what people are looking for in a quarterback. Tom Brady's not coming through that door.
All right. Gary says take a break. That's what we'll do.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
The New England Revolution wins Superliga on home turf.
With the Superliga championship in the history books, the Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
October 8th, 2008. Escape from Alcatraz. The PFW crew went to prison today. On our one free afternoon this week, we headed north to Alcatraz. We walked around the penitentiary grounds and through all the cell blocks for about an hour and a half. That's about the most Paul has ever walked in his life. Combined! He must have lost about 30 pounds. But that's like saying that Dow Jones lost 300 points. Seems like a lot, but it only adds up to like, what, 3% of the total? Afterwards, we went souvenir shopping. Modest Mike Parenti bought himself the gift. A black t-shirt with white letters that read, "Remember my name, you'll be screaming it later." I almost got one that said, "Endangered species, straight guy in San Francisco," but decided against it because it looked too, well, you know.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right.
Fred, it's a great Fred's part of the show, Fred. Don't you think?
Twogender's
contribution?
Yeah.
2008.
Some of them are good.
His only contribution, yeah. But you know.
I see what you did there, Fred.
let's see. Matt writes in. Matt is from Siena College. He says, "I can't listen live today, but I read Paul's Maroney Running Into Issues piece, and I am wondering what your guys' thoughts are on this so-called injury. Plus, I don't get that. What this injury would have to do with hitting the hole. Is he basically saying, I'm hurt, so I'm not going to play the way I'm supposed to? To me, it sounds like a lot of bull crap." And then he goes on to cite all of Maroney's quotes. What do you guys take?
I'm not convinced
What's the status of Lawrence Maroney?
I'm not convinced that it's an injury, Fred.
It's really really bizarre.
You're not convinced it's an injury. Other people,
no.
I say that that's all it is.
No.
And
well,
that
no,
he,
I don't think
and that he's trying to make
no.
it more than it is.
I think it's psychological.
Well, why is he trying to do that?
He said specifically
to get it away
it
from talking about the injury and maybe put it in people's no, minds.
But it's pretty easy around here not to talk about injuries
right.
if you don't
and
want
that's
to.
What people want to believe. So that, well, it's an injury, so we can't talk about it. So he'll just say issues. So they're assuming that it must be an injury. But that's
he
well,
said specifically it's not an injury.
I know, but you see...
I know, but
on this team, you're not allowed to talk about injuries.
Right, so it's very easy.
So let's just say that you have an injury, but your performance, your lack of performance isn't really based on the injury. It's because you're just not doing it right. You want people to think it's the injury.
But he actually said it wasn't an injury.
Because he can't say that it is.
I think
it's reverse psychology.
Here's my problem with your theory, Fred. I understand where you're going. I understand where you're going, but it would have been very easy for him to do what he did on Wednesday and Thursday and turn down the media requests for him.
Exactly.
But on Friday, he chose not to.
Right.
And came with us with this psychobabble.
Reverse psychology.
I have issues. And were the issues anything you've dealt with in the past? No, this is something new. Might the reason be, you know, you're dealing with a shoulder problem? No. I don't really see any reverse psychology there. He flat out answered the questions in a way that would lead you to believe that he's not dealing with injuries
that's
as right. his major stumbling
well,
block.
He's
right
not
now.
Allowed to say that anything he's doing is because of an injury, but he wants people to think that there's a problem of that is leading to his lack of production.
I think he wants
I
an
think
excuse.
There is a problem.
I think
and,
he just
and,
wants
and
an excuse
you're
for why he thinks.
You think that there is something, Eric.
I think he's got a problem with confidence.
Fred,
okay.
if it's not always what somebody says, it's how they say it.
Okay. And you were there.
And I was there with Paul, and this man looked like he was very troubled.
It didn't look like
anything to do with an injury, Fred. It looked like he really was reaching out for help.
Oh.
I thought he, you know...
He looked really depressed.
You know, I don't want to put what's the Jets guy's name that made fun of Bill after, you know, Gutman?
Yeah, Mike Gutman.
Steve Gutman.
You know his infinite man genius.
You know, we saw a man in turmoil.
Right.
I don't want to read too much into this, but I agree with Eric. I think that there was something to be there and see him. There was a pained expression on his face. It seemed like he was very emotional.
Unlike anything we've ever seen from him,
he's always happy-go-lucky.
Comes
back
joking.
At you with a joke or has a question back to the guy who asked him
right.
a question. We all asked him different angles, you know, about his confidence and this and that, and he was just not real convincing and
very out of sorts.
Yeah, he didn't seem like himself.
And not at all like himself.
I look at it, Fred, as he's always been the man. But as a pro, he's been trying to establish himself as the guy, you know, mm-hmm. the guy who carries the load, lead back. And what's happened, as Andy pointed out earlier, he's always fighting durability issues.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, whether it's ability or health, he hasn't been able to be the lead guy. Last four games last year and into the playoffs, he was that guy. He turned the corner, we all thought. I shouldn't say we all. I thought he turned the corner.
I think most of us did, he looked
like he was going to be the guy. And what did the Patriots do? They went out and signed Lamont Jordan, the first chance they got when he became available in the offseason, and I don't think he can handle. I don't think mentally he is tough as he needs to be.
Mm.
He's not Patriots mentally tough, let's put it that way. And I think that kind of bothered him a little bit. I think it was a great move by Bill before anybody says I'm putting this on Bill. You go out and you get guys for depth at that spot based on what Maroney did for you the first 2 years in terms of his durability. And I think it's like a crisis of confidence with him. I don't think he's feeling like he's established himself and
He hasn't.
And I'm not saying it's anywhere close to this situation, but you saw what happened with Vince Young recently with his lack of confidence went to an extreme. But it's not unprecedented for guys to, you know, withdraw like that when they're faced with this something like this for the first time. And like Paul said, in Maroney's case, this, you know, could be the first time that he's ever had to deal with
Stinky.
Being second or even third fiddle.
He's always telling us how confident he is.
Well, it's fake. We knew that last year because Tom Brady brought it up after his first game, you remember, in that stretch late in the year. Brady referenced, you know, it's good to build his confidence. I forgot the exact quote, but he referenced confidence. And I thought it was funny because I thought he was Ellis Hobbs-like. If the one thing he always had, whether he was rushing for 4 yards or 120, was confidence. And I thought that was interesting that a Brady, who sees him obviously far more often, far more in open environments than I ever would, referenced him having an issue with confidence, and now he's been challenged even more. He's maybe there is an injury, maybe that plays into it, maybe Lamont Jordan plays into it, maybe the lack of success plays into it. Maybe tough love plays into it with Ivan Fears having to yell at him, all those things. But I get the feeling that the confidence we see and the playful banter are
just
a facade for whatever is truly behind.
That's how I feel about it. And I'm, you know, I don't think that you can just flip the switch on that. He's going to need to have extended success, I think, to get his swagger back.
But the thing about him was, even when he was a rookie, when he first came in here, he was a loud, joking, friendly guy to everybody, teammates, the media, everyone. This interview he had last Friday was unlike anything in his character that we've ever seen.
Well, I mean, he's getting beat up in the press prior to that.
Yeah,
he said he listens to it.
Didn't he say he didn't?
Well,
you know he does.
Well, that part of it, I know he did too.
Yeah. I find it hard to believe that guys who are in such high profile.
He was the one that was
things.
Running for the touchdown a couple years ago, looking up at the screen and saying, I was thinking about what the media was saying about it. Yeah. So he listens. These coaches aren't necessarily psychologists. You wonder when there's no time for that. I agree. But when you get a guy like Vince Young or guys like that, these coaches aren't equipped to deal with those types. They're equipped to tough love and. Mm-hmm. You know, do it my way or the highway, and, you know, there's no crying in football type stuff.
What did Bill say he's not big on positive reinforcement?
Right. Well, but, I mean, you're talking about when it's a serious. You know, like Vince Young, I think, is you're right. I mean, I think that's a serious. I mean, it's been a punchline, but I don't really think it's funny.
No, it's not. When a guy's threatening to kill himself, it's not really funny.
I think there's some serious issues going on there.
And somebody said, you know, football, these players are brutal when he comes back. If he does come back on the field, they're going to make fun of him. You know, mama's boy, all that. I don't think they will.
I'm not sure.
I think the players know.
Some will.
They know when to draw the line.
Joey Porter.
With Vince Young, you mean?
Yeah.
I think most of them won't,
but I think Andy's right.
There might be a couple.
More tasteless.
There's a jerk.
But I think for the most part, these players, they're not beasts.
Here's the thing. I think that the players, you know, around the league, you know, the fraternity of players know the real story.
Yeah.
We probably don't. And if it is legitimately something that he's contemplating, so I even think a guy like Joey Porter probably would lay off
some. I think
like
you're
that.
Giving some of these guys.
You should have killed yourself because I'm after you all day. I don't know.
I think some of them will say that.
Adrian from Cleveland says, they find that the Patriots defense is finding a really hard time to peak at every game. I think generally all the Pats team can't really lift themselves up to a higher level, thinking, oh, the offense will suck because Brady is not there.
Oh, no.
This applies to both offense and defense. They can do it from time to time, like the second game against the Jets, but not for any given week.
Lack of consistency. That's a good story idea.
They shouldn't be peaking, though. They should be bringing that kind of pressure from the get-go.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be ramped up.
I think what he means is play at their highest level all the time.
Well, yeah, that's
that would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, then that's not really peaking.
That's
being good.
Yeah.
Now you're talking 2007
right.
Patriots offense. I mean,
yeah.
That's why that was a special group.
Plus, they got in trouble for peaking in the past.
Oh. Tony from Greenwich, Connecticut. Is it just me, but I think McDaniels calls a lousy game. I felt that since he took over the play calling. He calls a lot of head scratchers, in my opinion.
Really, when he was putting up the most points, yards, wins in the history of the league.
Right, and this offensive line has officially been exposed. The Super Bowl was no fluke. They are average at best, made to look better by a Hall of Fame quarterback who had all the time and great pocket presence.
I agree with.
I agree. The quarterback last year certainly can deal with an adequate line and adequate protection more than this year's quarterback can.
Yep.
You know what's funny? I think that the line last year was overrated because Brady made it look better, and I think that they're probably not as bad now as they're made to look to be because I think Castle takes a lot of sacks that are on Castle.
What did he say? Yeah. Tuck and fall?
Yeah.
Look, he hasn't played nearly as badly as fans. A lot of the email that we're getting from fans say he has. But on that first and goal series where they went all four downs, there were two of those pass plays where he had wide open receivers. Mm-hmm. And he said after the game, we asked him about that, and he said, no, you know, I went through all my progressions and I didn't see anybody open. Well, that's just a sign that he messed up on those plays.
I thought
the fourth down play, I think the whole Watson wide open thing is a bit overblown. I think the play was clearly designed to go to the right side. He went to Evans in the flat, who wasn't there, went to his next receiver in the back corner, who wasn't there, and then all of a sudden you look backside. It was like that Randy Moss play where, you know, Moss has his hand up, and the play had broken down seconds earlier. No chance to get him the ball. Does Tom Brady get Watson? Probably.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It reminds me, remember the play a couple of years ago in the goal line?
Does Carson Palmer? Probably not.
He looked to about six different options and then found David Givens way on the far right side. And everybody goes, wow, that's why he's Tom Brady.
That's Tom Brady.
That's why he is Tom Brady. Right. And that's why he's Matt Castle.
And there was a lot
of similarities. Just like why he would be John Kitna or run-of-the-mill quarterback enter here.
A late opening tight end on the backside from where the play was supposed to go. I don't think you can expect very many quarterbacks to get that. Tom Brady, he would have. Peyton Manning. He would have. I'm not sure a lot of other guys would have. And certainly you can't ask Matt Castle to do that. I don't think – I mean, his red zone play has been bad. You can't sugarcoat.
Then they're going to have to find another way to get the ball in the end zone when they're inside the 20.
Right.
So
and,
they can't
count
him to
with
three
on,
or four reads.
That's on Josh
they throw
and
the football.
And that's where I would agree with the guy criticizing Josh's play calling. I think they've called plays to a fault the same as they would have with Tom. And we talk about this almost every game. Like – 3 out of 4 passes there on the goal line. You don't have Tom Brady, you know. So,
but my point is, he had open guys.
The first down play where they play action it. I have no problem with that play call because you're looking for the guy to pop wide open, easy as can be. They had it covered.
Right.
Okay. Now you got to run it in. You only took one crack out of the next three plays to run it in, and you gave up on the run. I thought
it's like watching the Jets in Week 2 in the red zone.
And why not have Castle roll out a little bit? He can run. You know, let him. You know, pick an option or run it in, you know?
I think it only makes things worse when he's running around trying to find guys.
Well,
he can't find them when he's standing
there.
No,
but if it's a set play, if he's meant to roll out.
Well, just roll out and tuck it and run in the end zone or throw across the body because he can't do that either.
See, and then tuck.
See, I'm okay to roll him out in the field. In the goal line, I'm not really looking to. He has enough trouble. I mean, now you're compressing everything into
you only have 1 yard to get. You only have 1 yard to get, and you got 4 downs to do it.
I mean, Christ, try a QB keeper.
That's another good point is the personnel, and Andy pointed this out before. This is not a second guess. Andy said this before the play. The third and fourth down play, I believe, Randy Moss is on the sideline.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Because you have to pay attention to him.
Right.
You know?
Plus, he can make plays.
Right.
Throw the ball up in the air and try it.
Especially like on the fourth down. You know, when he ended up taking the sack, maybe instead of going down there, he just goes, just throws it up. And says,
Tim Tebow,
and by the way,
those pump passes.
The one red zone touchdown pass that Castle has, guess who it was to?
Yeah, Moss.
Randy Moss.
Is that the only red zone passing touchdown they have?
So, yeah. What about Gaffney against the Dolphins?
Oh, right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, I don't count that at all. 38 to
garbage
6.
Touchdown. The only relevant red zone touchdown was the one to Moss.
Yeah, that's
touchdown
a good point,
pass,
Freddie.
Rather.
James writes
from Eric the Legs Galavino.
Thank you.
No, I just thought of it.
I just thought of it.
James says, hey, guys, and Mr. I have no formal artistic training. A few questions. Do you guys consider a number of the Patriots draft choices since the 03 draft to have been questionable or outright bust?
Yes.
What I'm really getting at is whether the persons involved in making said draft choices are repeatedly making errors of judgment with regards to their selections.
Well, apparently they are.
We've already said that.
The
Maroney Jackson special picks are not so special.
I think they've struggled in the draft. So.
Yeah. Two, should the Patriots trade less than consistent and productive players like Watson and Maroney for draft picks with the goal of rebuilding the team in the 2009 draft?
If they can get something legitimate for it.
For who?
You can't trade them anyway.
Maroney or a Watson for more draft picks.
I think
you
trade
them
on both guys.
After the season's over, you could trade them if you wanted to. But
why do the Patriots, even with injection of new secondary coaching talent, Dom Capers, seem to insist on zone coverage? It just doesn't seem to be working for the most part.
Certainly not the case Sunday night. Now, I think they do play predominantly zone, but Sunday night was man up on the outside with a single deep safety, and it didn't go well.
Didn't work.
Four, should the Patriots consider not renewing Seymour's contract as the organization is paying a considerable amount of cash for a player whose productivity has markedly declined over the years?
Yeah. I can't argue with that. I'm a big Seymour guy. You guys know that. But
did you see the email address on that, Fred?
Not sure.
Yeah. It's a guy that likes Eric so much. His email is ericisadouche.com. He actually registered an email address just after you,
that's
Eric.
That's troubling on many levels.
I have no formal artistic training.
The best soundbite in the history of the show.
Well, he spelled Eric wrong, first of all.
We should have a showing.
That doesn't surprise
it's got a
me.
K.
Doesn't surprise
we should have a showing of that movie in the Hall of Patriot Place in the theater.
Why not? You got Laurie's baby picture in there.
Will people be crying for that, too?
I think so.
How big is the cheerleader section?
Can I put a specimen in the hall?
Cheerleader section.
Then why is her baby picture in there?
You have to go and see where it is, okay?
All right.
Stop asking questions. Go find
out.
Don't
tell me it's on the same row where like Logan Mankin's baby picture is.
Have you been there?
Yeah, yes. I've been there twice.
That's where it is.
You serious?
Yeah.
So this is like Highlights Magazine. What does not belong in this picture?
Right.
Logan Mankins, Tom Brady, Lori Bransky. No offense to Lori.
Bransky.
Lori Bransky.
Anything against her, it's just a dumb idea.
It's just weird.
People love it.
I don't know why you guys insist on poking the bear today. I told you he's got an itchy trigger.
That's
leave
poking
him alone.
The bear.
Yes, I've been to the hall twice and nothing worked the second time.
Yeah, Mike, why don't you tell us about your experience at the hall?
Kamani says...
engineering issues.
Kamani says, Fred, you were right about the defense. I was wrong in blaming Castle for that loss. He's not a jerk-off. The defense, they're jerk-offs. They are overrated. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Remember, tomorrow is the Qdoba question of the day week. So we will be asking the question... What? Rook. Don't worry, I'll get to it. We'll be asking the question 110... 110 is when you call in for that, and we'll have a question ready. Andy will ask it because I don't do it right. That's tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow. And right now, stay tuned for Rook, who's in his mother's basement. Hi, John.
Fred.
You are terrible.
You're fired.
Yeah, I know how we can cut costs. One big salary.
Listen. That's too many salaries going if you cut that one.
That's true.
Stop
that's
that.
All of us.
Stop that.
All right, John, who do you got today? Anybody good?
The one and only Ron Jaws Jaworski.
Oh, nice.
Jaws.
We'll get him to break down Matt Castle and see what he thinks.
Tell him the best newspaper, team newspaper in the NFL says hello.
Jaws.
I will definitely do that.
Because he gets PFW. Us.
And us too.
Yeah. And you guys too. Oh, absolutely. I thought you guys were PFW.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's John Rook coming up right after this. We'll see you tomorrow.